It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy.
Oh, sorry about the throat clearing. Yeah. Here we are. It is the beginning of the first full month, or first full week of the month of February. It is the 7th day of February, 2022. It is Moran Monday. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the Merry Wacky's any real-time multimedia madcap extravaganza. That is The Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live. Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, all time zones in between, and the great globe round. Hi, I'm Robin, and I hope you had a wonderful weekend. It was pretty nice here. It was quiet. I don't get out to a lot of, not a lot of excitement in my life right now. Mostly it's just, it's all pretty much just healing. I have entered now the 13th week. Post-operatively since the surgery that saved my life and gave me my authenticity, and things get continually better. It's just still very time-consuming, and so, you know, a lot of time to watch the news, and, well, Annette and I watched an Amazon Prime show over the weekend. We binged it on Saturday. It was called Reacher, and featured a big old beefcake fella, and a cast of actors and ensemble around him who were quite good, and it was really exciting. A lot of things blew up, and a lot of people got shot in the face. I noticed that hyperviolence appears to be back in film. Oh my God! But we just kind of couldn't turn away, and Annette and I sat there, you know, wondering when the big hookup scene was going to take place. It's like, yeah, that's going to happen. Not that there was any real prophetic genius involved. It's just you could see it from a mile away, and a lot of bad guys. But here's the reason I mention it. The longer we watched it, and no spoilers here, but the longer we watched it, we realized it was, years and years and years ago, I was a huge fan of Bloom County. Remember that comic strip, Bloom County? And you remember the sleazy lawyer in it, Steve Dallas? Well, there was Berkeley Breathed, who drew and wrote it. Had a series of panels at one point, man, this was a long time ago, in which there was to be a rewrite of To Kill a Mockingbird. And I think it was, he drew Steve Dallas with, like, you know, the Rambo bandoliers of bullets across his chest and machine guns in both arms. Kill more Mockingbird! Yeah, well, honest to Pete, what we watched on Saturday, Reacher, there were like 10 episodes, I think. It was The In-Laws, and we all know how much I love The In-Laws. 1978, Peter Falk, Alan Arkin, Ed Begley Jr., Nancy Dussault, fabulously talented cast. And it's madcap, and it's wacky, and it's zany, and it's hilarious. Well, I'm pretty sure they took the plot from To Kill a Mocking, from The In-Laws, and they made it a hyper-violent version of it. I mean, it just dawned on me about halfway through, and I looked at Annette, and I said, this is The In-Laws, only with bullets. Lots more bullets. And she goes, yep, it is. So if you decide to watch it over there on one of those streaming platforms, I mean, it's a pretty good shoot 'em up. As shoot 'em ups go. It just seemed kind of strange. Anyway, though, I'm getting ahead of myself because every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So we send out thanks to our subscribers for the 7th, 6th, and 5th day of the month. And what that means is we say thank you to Don. Thank you, Don. Thank you, James. And thanks as well to David in San Diego. Thank you to John. Thank you to Michael in Madison. Thank you to Bob. Thank you to Charlene in Rogues Island. Thank you to our pal Don in West Tennistan. I hope the pot of chili was fantastic. Thank you to Kevin in Colorado Springs, and thank you Kenda in Springfield, Missouri. And thank you, Kevin. Well, that's Friday. So thanks to everybody who helps keep all the sticks, all the plates spinning on all the sticks, all the juggling in the air and off the floor. Thank you so very much. And thanks to a person who I presume still prefers to remain anonymous. We had $1,099 fundraising goal for today. It is now $769 for a Have a Show on Me, and then a little more. So thank you so much for that. Those moments are incredibly important. Thanks as well to our pal Dave in Kentucky. Let's see, so that's seven. Because I was able to go to the mailbox on this past Saturday. Sorry, sneezing connection. You didn't want to hear that. But anyway, we're down to $759, and that would bring us even. And it would be really nice if we could knock out, you know, basically we're at 2 days. We're behind 2.5 days funding. So that's half of Thursday, all of yesterday, or all of Friday and today. Hopefully we'll be able to knock some of that out. Thank you, one and all. Where to be? Well, I got a note here from Joey. Swiss cheated. On this day, February 7th, 1964, the Beatles arrived for their first visit to the United States, where thousands of fans greeted them at the recently renamed John F. Kennedy Airport in Brooklyn, New York. Yes, the airport, formerly known as Idlewild, was renamed after JFK on Christmas Eve, 1963, just 1 month after the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. Well, it didn't take long for the giraffe to wander in. I'm amused and perplexed with the word Idlewild. From a purely philosophical standpoint, how can something be idle and wild at the same time? I find Idlewild to be a very incongruent word. Speaking of wild idols, I cannot help on this day but to think how that song by Billy Idol, I Can't Drive 55, in light of the fact that it was on this day in 1975 that Canada decided to follow Jimmy Carter's lead and roll their speed limit back to 55 miles per hour, or 88 kilometers. Many Canadians were mad and protested the new speed limit.
Now, some really stupid moron Canadians are not driving at any speed at all, as in Ottawa, they've parked their vehicles in the Canadian capital in protest of the recent COVID mandates disrupting business and traffic. I guess you could say that these cars are just idling. You couldn't expect Junior not to get in on this.
At one point, the Canadian government was providing $2,000 a month to the citizens of Canada to help offset the pandemic. Well, anybody in Canada that doesn't want to follow the COVID mandates should lose their loonies. That's the Canadian currency, because they are loony.
Well, nice job on both of y'all, but a little editorial correction here before the emails start flowing in. And namely, that was not Billy Idol who did I Can't Drive 55. My old DJ brain rebelled when I ran across that. And said, no, that's Sammy Hagar. He did that song and then later on became part of Van Hagar. Yeah. Am I wrong? I don't think so. Yeah, I did. I mentioned the PayPal contributors for today, yesterday, and Saturday, Randy Radar. And again, thanks for the have a show on me that I found waiting in the mailbox at over in Beckley yesterday. You remember the UPS store that we share with the Klan? My God, no. Yeah. Making some progress. I have website domains for my campaign. I've got some of the other detail work going, and you know that just plugging away a little bit at a time. Yeah, okay. Thank you for the confirmation, Jack in Shreveport. Yes, it's Samuel Hagar. Thank you. And by the way, Joey says now, speaking of airports named after former presidents, again, have they changed the name of that airport in Virginia near Washington, D.C. that was named after good old 666 himself, Ronald Wilson Reagan? I only ask because it was good old Ronnie Reagan's birthday yesterday, and I trust nobody in the Horn family celebrated it. No, and so far, the nation has managed not to make it a national holiday, seeing how it falls in the month of February, and all presidents get celebrated on President's Day with a sale on mattresses. But, yes, two presidents were shot, and the wrong one survived, says Jeffrey. And by the way, on this day in 1974, speaking of Ronald Reagan, the country of Grenada has granted its independence from Great Britain.
But I thought Reagan liberated Grenada in 1983.
No, Reagan did not liberate the island country of Grenada, Junior, but rather he decided to go into Grenada after he fucked up in Beirut, Lebanon. Yes, Ronnie Tough Guy Reagan sent troops to Grenada to protect 600 medical students that, according to Reagan, were in danger of becoming hostages similar to Iran. Reagan had to show how tough he was after he got his ass kicked in Beirut. I hope he saved those 600 medical students because the U.S. lost 241 Marines in Lebanon.
Good job, Ronnie. Hope you had a happy birthday in hell yesterday,
says Junior. And back to the Beatles. So in February 1964... the Beatles performed on the Ed Sullivan Show, and an estimated 73 million people, or 40% of America, tuned in to watch the Beatles. Ironically, on this day, February 7th, 2010, the Super Bowl between the Indianapolis Colts and the New Orleans Saints garnered very similar ratings to the Beatles, as that game had an estimated 106.5 million watchers, which was only approximately 33% of the country, compared to the nearly 40% that watched the Beatles. Hopefully the ratings will be huge for this Super Bowl, so the Bengals can not only beat the Rams, but the Bengals can also beat the Beatles. Okay, I see what you did there. And I'll give you one for that. And curiously, in 2014, I was standing in front of the Ed Sullivan Theater with the commemorative 50 years since the Beatles on the marquee, 50th anniversary of the Beatles, and took a picture. And so 50 years after the Beatles made their debut on network television, I did too. So, how about that? Finally, on this date in 1971, women in Switzerland were granted the right to vote. 1971. What? That can't be right.
I, for one, am very disappointed to hear that it took Switzerland that long to allow women the right to vote. I thought the Swiss were a forward-thinking, high-minded country. This is very disappointing. Hell, they'll probably never let a giraffe have a vote.
Well, I think we should have a talk with these people in Geneva because these women at that up to that point had been Swiss cheated.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Jonas Jr., Chalet have a talk with the Swiss. By the way, the primary language in Geneva and much of Switzerland is French.
So upon hearing that women were granted the right to vote, many of the Swiss men were very upset and took to the highest regions of the Alps and let out some big yelps. Oh, my God. Yes, the Swiss men demanded that the vote for women be recalled in what they called La Recall. Well, the efforts of the Swiss men failed, but what did come from the attempted La Recall was a great no-cough drop, which was aptly renamed Recola.
The horror! The awfulness! Boo! Gunner!
Ned Jr. wraps it all up.
The cough drops were wonderful, and the Swiss women were very happy as they told some of those terrible Swiss men to go suck on it.
This has been Joey's Journal for More in Monday, the 7th day of February, 2022, with Giraffe and Jr. looking at those big, tall Alps. There's a $10 Swiss cheated challenge on the table. And if that's met, that will get us down to, what did I say? That would get us down to 7:39. So, thank you. Thank you, Joey, Jeffrey, Junior. Thanks all so kindly. Billable Rick says, cowbell for Joey. I guess you could say that these cars are just idling, referring to the feed 'em drive of the maggot truck drivers. Feed 'em! Wolverines! Yeah. I thought I gave one. Okay, but that so much of the life was sucked out of that cowbell by the Ricola. God, no, please, not again. I had a note from our pal Scary Jerry a few minutes ago, a little bit ago. Subject line, Socialist Radio Queen.
Yes.
Robin, this is one of those days where 5 p.m. I'm winding down from one of the most momentous and significant neuro events of my life. I hope your folder isn't too full of morons, because I got a big one. Why is there anybody in jail in this country, still in this country, for any kind of cannabis conviction? I'll give you 3 hours to come up with an answer. That was earlier today, about 2 o'clock. And, well, I frankly don't. I got nothing. I say, see what you got there. I see what you got there, Jerry. Joey, you start these things. And remember, kids, says Scott in San Diego, the Lord alps them what alps themselves. Is that what it's going to be tonight? Is that how this is going to go? Because my God, oh dear, make it stop, stop it, Spock, stop it. Yeah, exactly. Brother Deacon Asa says so. Reacher was basically the in-laws, without the peace-loving, homicidal dictator with deep Quaker roots and a respect for the and reverence for human life. Yes, that. Yeah. Richard Libertini was General Garcia. Good, right. And be forewarned, there is a significant gore and ick factor if you decide to watch it. West Virginia, Gunner crop. Wow, says Steve in New York. Bumper crop tonight. I know. And for all I know, it's going to continue. Oh, but we had a beautiful day here today. It was sunny and magnificent. I think we got up into the 40s. And we had some bitterly cold nights over the weekend. But, hey, the earth is turning more and more the northern hemisphere toward the sun with each and every passing day. Our lows are getting a little more manageable.
when I leave here for Birmingham on Tuesday next, not tomorrow. On Tuesday next, we should have a high of 42 up here, so that might bode well for what I get going south. Oh, mercy sakes alive. Yeah. My hometown's going to have a high near 60. At 60. Shoot. I may get to take a skirt with me. Yay. Speaking of my hometown, this is the dumbest thing. This is just an honorary Moran Monday nomination. I grew up in Florence, Alabama, and Florence was named Florence by the architect and designer and surveyor who laid it out on behalf of the Cypress Land Company in 1817. And they gave him naming rights, and the guy's name was Ferdinand Sinoner, and his home was Firenze, Florence, Italy. And so he named it Florence, Alabama. And for years, they have referred to themselves as the Renaissance City, and they adopted a fleur-de-lis as their logo. And I guess some genius somewhere, I mean, you have to look this up. Just look up Florence, Alabama new logo. And it's just so breathtakingly dumb. It's the first three letters of the word, F-L-O, only it's a... The background is baby puke green. The F in Florence is a sort of dismal blue, and then the L and the O form an exclamation point that mean F, which could be taken as, you know, fuck, right? Or F, as in, you know, this, you didn't just fail this class, you failed it with real panache and aplomb and determination. F! There's a petition out there that's got thousands and thousands and thousands of signatures by now, excoriating the city officials of that town for this stupid, stupid, stupid logo that, and this is the punchline, that they paid $25,000 for to a design firm in Birmingham, Alabama. And they were proud of it. Oh, yeah. The city government did a press release and everything. The new logo symbolizes the people of Florence's passion and love for the city. A sense of amazement, delight, and pride is all reflected in the Florence logo exclamation point. No. It looks like the city of Florence just dropped a cinder block on its foot and yelled, fuck! And now they want to revise the logo. No, there's no revising this. They had a pretty little fleur-de-lis. I don't know what Flavio, practitioner of the art of word knowing in many languages. I only know it as the fleur-de-lis out of French. What is it? What is it? En italien. In italiano. Need a little help here, Flavio. But that's our opening Moran Monday salvo. My good friend Stefan Passamore told me about that the other night. I was like, no, you're kidding, right? This is a joke. Like, no. The he said the entire city of Florence is up in arms and ready to march on the castle with the pitchforks and torches. And maybe it would be, I was always told that you don't, blue and green don't go together. This is baby puke green. Ugh. I probably ruined dinner in the Eastern Standard Time Zone with that remark. But by the way, Joey Giraffe Jr., Ralph says, boo, boo, for Ricola, boo. Earther's not taking it well either. My God, Robin, these puns are appalling. Et tu, Earther? Really? Was that entirely necessary? Scott in San Diego says, what was Sammy Hagar's brother's name? I used to like them on Hee Haw. I searched the world over and I thought I found true love. Never, don't do it. No singing. We got a $739 fundraising hole. This is terrible. Horrifying. But that's a, you know, that's just a starting place for the conversation this evening. And by the way, the stress line is all charged up and ready to go. And Scary Jerry said something about calling in here in a little bit, so I just wanted to let him know that we were ready. But as to other morons, lo, there are other morons. Some more dangerous than others, some just comically stupid. Oh, I'm sorry, that was the boo from Princess Bride, Ralphs. Boo! 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 You mean that one? Yeah. I mentioned earlier and I kind of mentioned it for a reason, that Reacher, a lot of folks getting shot in Georgia. Took place in, I guess, a fictional town called Margrave, Georgia. Well, Richland, Washington is not fictional. It's very real. And there was an outbreak of freedom there earlier today at a Fred Meyer grocery store when a dude with a freedom protector decided to let loose of some freedom and in the process killed at least one person. As of this moment, news reports say that the suspect is still at large. Law enforcement, having put out a photo of a man, with a buggy in the store. One dead. One is in the hospital, condition unknown. Richland, Washington is about 200 miles southeast of Seattle. So the National Rifle Association roulette wheel of death spun and spun and spun and spun and finally came to a stop on the sleepy little Washington town of Richland. I wanted to make sure that I did make mention of it because I've missed a bunch along the way, and I'd least like to make people aware when these outbreaks of freedom take place. God. So that's one of the, that's just a pluribus unum morans for this Moran Monday. And I think we can all agree that Bojo the Clown in Merry Old England, Great Britain, UK, Bojo the Clown is a perpetual Moran Monday nominee. Today we learned things like how he and a Welsh member of Parliament sang Gloria Gaynor's I Will Survive to each other. No, really. Mercifully, there is no audio of that. But in Prime Minister's Question Time, It was a special event in which he announced the release of the report the partial report on what is being referred to in the UK as Partygate. And when the leader of the loyal opposition, one Sir Keir Starmer, spoke out and excoriated Bojo the Clown, he responded that when he was head of public prosecutions, Sir Keir Starmer should have done a better job prosecuting Jimmy Savile. You might recall Jimmy Savile was a notorious child predator, child sex abuser, who operated for years, kind of hiding in plain sight. Well, during that exchange and that scurrilous slur, it whipped the British equivalent of the maggots into a homicidal frenzy, and Sir Keir Starmer had to be whisked away by police as an angry mob looked like they were about to attack him. They threw traffic cones at police officers.
See, that's how it is over there. They ain't got no freedom over there, so they ain't got no freedom protectors. They ain't got no guns. Otherwise, well, you could have had a big old outbreak of freedom in England there.
He was surrounded by an angry mob in London, and they screamed pedo protector at him, which, you know, he didn't do. And Bojo the Clown immediately got on Twitter and said, "The behavior directed at the leader of the opposition tonight is absolutely disgraceful. All forms of harassment of our elected representatives are completely unacceptable. I thank the police for responding swiftly." Oh, do you, Bojo? But there is speculation over there that his government may fall, that they are nearing a perilous magic number that will trigger a recall election. I mean, even when the previous Prime Minister Theresa May is leveling charges, Lord Barwell was a housing minister and later chief of staff under Theresa May, said,
"Just like when he said Muslim women wearing burqas looked like letterboxes, Boris Johnson needs to learn that his words have consequences for other people. He needs to withdraw them and apologize." That's what passes in the UK for a resounding rebuke. It remains, and so far he's, the Welsh minister said to Boris, "Will you survive?" And Boris sang, "I will survive." Quit your day job and don't pick up a night one, Bojo. And of course, this is just another day when there are no consequences for Joe Rogaine. Even though, if you go to Patriot Takes on Twitter, there's a compilation of him uttering that word over and over and over and over again. And that fact has occasioned some morality. Where else but on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda? But I've never been to this platform. It's called Rumble. It's described as a conservative-leaning YouTube competitor. I think that's really and this is from Business Insider. Conservative-leaning Rumble. That's a misnomer. There's no conservatism in the right wing anymore. It's just an angry rump party of butthurt white people. But nonetheless, Rumble reached out to Joe Rogan via Twitter, of course. Hey, Joe Rogan, we're ready to fight alongside you. See the note from our CEO, Chris Pavlovsky. Dear Joe, we stand with you, your guests, and your legion of fans in desire for real conversation. So we'd like to offer you 100 million reasons to make the world a better place. How about you bring all your shows to Rumble, both old and new, with no censorship, for $100 million over 4 years? This is our chance to save the world, and yes, this is totally legit. Sincerely, Chris Pavlovsky, CEO. 100 million over 4 years. What's the Spotify deal? Was it 100 million up front, or is it over a period of years? Oh, well, it's a multi-year deal. So again, no consequence, no censorship, and when it's a right-wing maggot platform, that means, without saying it out loud, they can say, "No, what we mean by that?" You can say that word anytime you want to, and it's pretty obvious, Joe, you like to say that word, and we understand that. We do. And so, like I said, it occasioned some more anity over on Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, where one of the babblers there, Fox News, Harris Faulkner, is perplexed, and she's a woman of color. Harris Faulkner is perplexed about the word now. We'll let her speak for herself.
I'm going to be honest. If we're going to just unilaterally ban anyone who has used these phrases, there goes the whole Super Bowl halftime show. There goes Howard Stern. Whoopi Goldberg.
What? That's the thing.
Yeah.
That's the thing,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
I mean, if black people are going to use this word in our rap music or wherever it is, then what are the rules? Is there a list of people mm-hmm. who use the word?
No.
Right? I need the list and I need the rules, because to me, if a word is a word is a word and it's not going to be used by anybody, then it has to be across the board. And I'm raising children. It would make it really easy.
Yep.
To be able to tell my biracial children exactly why that word has been taken off the table with no exception.
No question.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. Poor Harris. She's so confused. I'm by no means offering anything definitive on the point, but this seems to make a little sense. You can kind of tell when it's being used as a weapon, as a cudgel, as a blunt instrument. There's a big difference between an overheard phone conversation where the word is being bandied about between two friends and those two friends ostensibly, one person on one end of the conversation, clearly black. And when, Joe Rogan throws it around as some sort of piece of performative edginess, edgelordery. But Harris Faulkner needs a list. Because she just can't tell. Because she's so easily confused.
Bring it home. I promised myself I wouldn't say the word wow today. You made me say it because we have talked about all the quiet things out loud today.
That's why we're here.
And I know we're going to see some ratio in social media. I will.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We'll see some ratio in social media because there's no such thing as bad publicity.
Oh my gosh, a black woman says that black men can't use the N-word.
Yeah.
No, she says they shouldn't and wish they didn't, because you're saying that no one can. And if there are exceptions, I'm going to need a list.
Yeah. No, let's don't and say we didn't. She needs a list. Sure. But, that's going to be there. That's their default position. And it takes us to, of course, Talabama, where the two leading candidates for the Republican nomination for the Senate seat being vacated by Richard Shelby are, one, a woman by the name of Katie Britt, whose previous job was like chief of staff to Richard Shelby, and he just gave her a horse gag and load of money and said, now you go on run for Senate now, and you can have my war chest, because they won't let me keep it for some reason. And so she has billboards, and I mean, we noticed these way back in November when we went down for my surgery. She's got billboards all over Alabama, way out in front of Mo Brooks, Les Brames. But Mo Brooks, Les Brames, well, he's trying to show that he really, really does understand the Talabama experience. Now, this guy was actively involved in the insurrection against constitutional governance and the Constitution itself and the seat of that constitutional governance on January the 6th, 2021. But there's so much more to him than that. In point of fact, Saturday night he was in Athens, Alabama, or Saturday for his Senate campaign. And he was trying to wave the bloody shirt and get folks whipped up into a righteous frenzy. And, you know, there's a long history of the federal courts intervening in Alabama to try to stop them from stopping people from voting that they don't want to vote. And so it was that Mo Brooks began burbling and garbling and babbling and hunting and hooting and barking and grunting and screeching about a recent federal appeals court ruling saying that Alabama has to redraw its congressional districts to be more equitable from a race perspective. That from a story at AL.com. A story noting Brooks, Republican, Huntsville, said Saturday that, well, the judges concluded that Alabama's proposed congressional districting map dilutes voting power for black Alabamians and that the map likely violates the Voting Rights Act. This then occasioned Mo Brooks, Les Brames, to declare, these liberal activist judges have tried to segregate us based on race. I find that abominable. In order to elect people in certain parts of the state based on race, which I also think is abominable. We've got to put the skin pigmentation issue behind us. Mm-hmm. Did you notice those three words? It's three of the first four words of the quote. Liberal activist judges. Shh. Don't tell Mo Brooks, Les Brames, but two out of the three judges on that appeals court panel were appointed by his God Emperor Donald J. Trump. And the J stands for jurisprudence. But they're liberal activist judges. I don't care. I mean, I hope he won't get mad at me. Because, see, Mo Brooks, Les Brames is the anointed one of his God Emperor in that Senate race. So, some enterprising reporters tracked down Mo Brooks, Les Brains, and said, and told him about them liberal activist judges being Trump appointees. And he said, well, from a technical legal standpoint, that's correct. About him being appointed by Nitwit Nero. From a technical legal standpoint, but that, you know how them legal technicalities are. Everybody hates them, some legal technicalities. Because, see, it ain't so much that, I mean, there's still liberal activist judges, and you know whose fault it is?
the blame should be on senators who pushed for the judges, not on our God Emperor. You know who pushed for them judges to get them judging seats? I tell you. It was Senator Richard Shibby. He wanted Judge Manasco and Moorer to be nominated to be on the appeals court. And that's how come they's there. He wanted them. And you know who else? You know who else Richard Shibby wants? Richard Shibby wants Katie Britt. She's a liberal. They're all liberals if they ain't me. There's only one good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Christian Republican in this here race, and it is me, Mo Brooks, Les Brames. And he wanted the maggots to understand exactly where he stood. He said, you'll notice that none of my remarks have ever criticized Donald Trump in that process. And if you look into it a little bit further, you'll discover that is actually the senators who control who those judges are going to be. There is a deference that the White House has to senators from state. Those two senators in the state are the ones who select the judges. But I tell you what, I, Mo Brooks, Les Brames, can promise you this. If I'm elected to this here Senate seat, I won't lobby for no liberal judges. I'll make sure they get right up there on that bench and they're wearing their pointy little white hat the whole time. I'd try to make sure... Okay, I made that part up. I'd try to make sure that the judges that are promoted for the president to appoint to the district court level are not as liberal and as activist as we have seen with the congressional district in battle that is going on right now. I'd not have either nominated or argued for or allowed either one of these two judges to be appointed circuit court or court of appeals judges if I'd have been a United States senator. I wouldn't have done it. In fact, I have talked about this with our dear God Emperor. And Nitwit Nero tells me, he said, Mo Brooks, Les Brames.
Mo Brooks, Les Brames. I totally agree. I'm as displeased as you are.
And that's what he said. He said he was as displeased as I am. And you know what? I'm real displeased. Because it's because I can wave it around and pretend I actually understand a little bit of what's going on when it's pretty clearly, you know, being Les Brames and all, that I don't. Yeah. Ralph's pointing out, oh, Mo Brooks dissing Republican Richard Shibby. I know. Whatever happened to Reagan's 11th commandment? So, there's my question, an answer to my question, courtesy of Flavio. The fleur-de-lis is Giglio, not Gigolo, because Flavio anticipates me. Not Gigolo, Giglio. Okay, I know something new. I've learned a new thing today. The day has not been wasted. As to that new Florence City logo, they left the S off the logo, Billable Rick says. It should read Fios, as in the name of the internet service offered by AT&T. Oh, dear God, there's that, too. But there's no S in Florence. But the I neglected to mention there's a motto underneath the new logo. That F with an exclamation point. The motto says, live more. Live for more.
What, Edith, huh?
Live for more. One petitioner wrote on signing the petition. I went to bed in the beautiful Renaissance city of Florence, Alabama, and woke up to the city council telling everyone who comes here they can, well, go away and live more somewhere else.
live far more, not for more, live far more elsewhere. Oh, thank you, Arthur. Arthur got us started this evening. So we are down to $732, and change. I just can't do the ciphering this evening. It's too much. Rumble's German translation. Rumble, the website. Viertes Reich TV. Sounds, yeah. By the way, press conference today between President Biden and Olaf Scholz, the new chancellor, the new-ish chancellor of Germany. They seem to be speaking with one mind in regard to how they will, how Europe will respond to what we were told yesterday on the Sunday shows is the imminent attack by Mother Russia, and sweet harmless wouldn't hurt a fly unless it slipped and fell out of a 30-story window. Vlad Putin, you know, if that fly happened to be gay or trans or said something Putin didn't like. But it, there was something about yesterday that just, and I'm not trying to be a crank. It was like, well, he could, because yesterday the administration official who said this said, well, you know, he could invade as soon as tomorrow or it might be several weeks. Huh? In other words, you really don't have any idea. Oh, and as to me, Annette and me watching Reacher, Ron and Raleigh says, Lee Childs, the author of the Reacher books, has expressed online that he's happy that someone of appropriate size has been cast as Jack Reacher. In the books, Reacher is 6 feet five. Tom Cruise is barely 5'7". Really? Proper casting makes a movie more realistic. No black Anne Boleyns, please. P.S. Bosch Legacy is on the way. Also, did you watch the last two episodes of the Book of Boba Fett? If you not, you missed a great Mandalorian Easter egg. We are struggling, Ron. We are struggling. Trying to just slog our way through the Book of Boba Fett. I don't know why we can't just... I don't know why. But, you know, we come back to it, and we plug away until we're asleep again. I mean, that for some reason, that show knocks me out faster than my progesterone does. And my progesterone knocks me out pretty quick. Great sleeping medication. But we will. We'll try. And well, here's another thing, Ron, you being of a certain age and all, as you have mentioned, Reacher reminded me of someone else. He reminded me of a, described as, you know, tall, sturdy, strong, handsome, former football player, alluded to military service, Travis McGee. And if they had a lot of the same qualities as Travis McGee, too. But if they make another one, and he winds up living on a houseboat, I'll know that the plagiarism has become complete. So that. What else? I'm going to the phones here just in a sec. I agree with India Ari, the one who made the supercut of Pink Shrek and the N-word. In her Friday Instagram story, India Ari noted that she empathizes with the people who are leaving for the COVID disinformation reasons, and that she also thinks that Rogan has the right to say what he wants to say. But the singer pointed out that she, too, has the right to express her beliefs and doesn't want her music streamed on a platform that has signed an exclusive licensing deal with someone who regularly spouts racist language. Spotify is built on the back of the music streaming, so they take this money that's built from streaming and they pay this guy $100 million, but they pay us 0.003% of a penny? Exactly. And I'm still waiting. I haven't seen, and it's entirely possible that I missed it, If anyone has seen it and I'm wrong, please let me know. I would be happy to be wrong in this instance. I really wish some of the, and maybe they're just not on Spotify to begin with. I don't know. I don't have it, so I can't go and check. Two people that come immediately, well, and one band that come immediately to mind, for whom one would assume that Joe Rogan is completely the diametric opposite of the attitudes that they espouse. Jason Isbell, Amanda Pearl Shires, and then, of course, the Drive-By Truckers. Patterson Hood has written eloquently about what he calls the duality of the Southern thing. And I would really like it if a member of the ad hoc research department here at the Horn Family Community Congregation could find out if are they on there? Have they pulled it? I haven't seen, but for a certain demographic, a younger demographic, that might go a long way. Okay, Brother Deacon Asa says they're on there. Well, you know, maybe they need to leave. I would say, but none of my business. I think I even uploaded a few episodes of this program to Spotify. I don't think I'm doing it anymore. And by the way, my apologies. Jason's on there too. Okay. Thank you, Brother Deacon. My apologies over Friday's podcast. I don't know what happened there. I looked for it. It would tell me every time I thought it was, I couldn't find it, and it would say it wasn't there, and then I'd go to upload it, and it would say, this file already exists. So I finally said, screw it, uploaded it anyway, and hopefully the Friday file has now appeared. Hopefully. But that's a broad, hopefully. Oh, okay. For goodness sake, Ron and Raleigh says of the Book of Boba Fett, it's only 6 episodes. I know that. We've fallen asleep in episode 1. We fell asleep in episode 2. Our most recent nap was episode 3. But I'm not going to give up. I'm kind of, well, stubborn that way. Jeremy says, Joe Rogan, I'm sure his multiple uses of that word on his show last week was him jacking off, J-A-Q-ing off, as everything else he does and says on that shit show. Just asking questions, man. Ah, okay. Well, thank you, Kim. Best always, Kim from New York City. Your first guess was correct. Giglio in Italian is pronounced with a soft G. Giglio. Cool. More learning. That's a win. Christopher in Oregon, Live Far More. So if you don't like Live Far More, does that mean you meet Jesse Lee's litmus test? Hey. You're trying to get me in trouble, aren't you, Todd? You can see this. Yeah. Todd says, stop talking about broads. Oh, hell. Fine. Bring the fire and brimstone down on yourself, but let me get the umbrella out. I'm one of those aforementioned now. I kind of always have been. Okay, I'm totally lost. Jack in Shreveport says, was the Reacher thing you watched really related to the Jack Reacher movies with Tom Cruise, or was somebody joking about that? It's the same Reacher. Yeah, but they did find, and I thought Alan Richton, is that his name? did a good job. He was economical with his words, you know. He didn't say, yonder lies the castle of my father. I thought he played it well. And the whole cast was quite good. And I was surprised. I looked, the mayor Teal. I was surprised to because I kept looking at him. Going, who is that, honey? Who is that? And then it finally dawned on me, the guy who plays the mayor. Played the guy in My Cousin Vinny. He played the guy who made the grits. That Joe Pesci so richly cross-examined him over. A lot of times passed. Yeah. So there's the Robster. See, I did it to myself. There's the Robster, and let's check in over on the stress line and see what's going on. Hey, welcome to the program.
Wanda Cronkite.
What do you say, Jerry?
Can you hear me?
I hear you.
I've had
a day.
Such a ride. No, a ride. It's, you know, it's funny. I think the next greatest stigma in this country is mental health and mental wellness.
You isn't it already?
I don't know where to start. All right, let's start with all the people in jail. Some of them from the 80s for weed. I think they need to be released tomorrow or yesterday, actually. I think that if a bunch of right-wing Nazis storm the Capitol over bullshit, we're storming the Capitol smoking joints. I think...
Okay, okay, let's be clear. Probably not a good thing to say we're storming the Capitol about anything. But
we're doing it legislatively.
Yes.
We're doing it with tax money. We're going to use all the tricks that they've used for our benefit. No, there's generally hippies, socialists, and flaming liberals. You've got to do something really bad to get them out of the bed with even a slingshot. We're storming the Capitol to change shit. We're getting people out of Congress and legislatures who either dragged their feet or blocked or making money on the way the situation is. We're getting rid of bail. We're getting rid of probation. We're getting rid of pissing in a fucking cup.
How about we get rid of prosecuting people for weed? I mean, then you wouldn't need bail. Then you wouldn't need lockups. Then you wouldn't. Yeah.
Today. That's this.
And every weed conviction on the books, poof, expunged, and a blanket pardon.
Don't negotiate it. I don't want you to. And you know what? I don't care if you're doing anything, because here's one of the things that happened to me this weekend. First of all, because there is less or more than a 1% chance that some people from Reddit are listening right now, because I stirred up a hornet's nest over there that had nothing to do with y'all, and had everything to do with grieving and how I realized that. First of all, the first sign is I got banned from politics, our politics, because I wanted to blow up the Fox News building. But in typical liberal fashion, I would pull the fire alarm and let everybody get out, and the actual physical building, no more of, because.
Okay, see, I mean, I'm not giving you hell, Jerry, but you can't say that shit. You just can't.
No, you can't. It was rhetorical.
You had no plans. There was nothing. There was no seriousness to it. And yet,
it was the thing kind of shit that they say over on their side all the time.
Sure.
They print up targets. They do this, and we sit there and we twiddle our thumbs and go, no, we no, And no, I got banned because our politics is run by a bunch of right wingers. So they really try to compress the truth.
Well, with the it seems to me that with the single exception of maybe the trans subreddits, all of Reddit is run by a bunch of right wingers.
Yes. Now, the human mind is a very funny thing. I am neurotypical. That means the electrical polarity in my brain runs both directions, which for any computer system is really a bad idea. You got to pick a side, as they say. Does that make any sense?
It absolutely does.
And it makes bad things happen. Sometimes they're good things happen, but they're all unpredictable. And if you've had any experience with manic depression or anything, you know that the counter is running on your moment to go, how do you say it? Strip naked and run rabbits?
It's eat dirt, drink pee, and run rabbits.
I've felt like that since I was 5. Kind of like how you wanted to put on a dress probably when you were 6. And then they're like, no, what are you doing? Bob, put your pants on.
Yeah.
I'm sure. I've had to say. In fact, when you were having your surgery, I was like, hey, you got anything for me, a chip or anything? I would just like to wake up the same person every morning. That would be cool. I got a lot to cover. Firstly, and this is what might have been, imagine if Stacey Abrams was running in 24 for president. She'd win. I don't know how she's going to do in Georgia, but she could win. She could talk some shit. Back to my idea. I want to start a weed pack to release the federal prisoners, political prisoners, because if you smoked a joint, or if you tried to sell some weed, or if you tried to grow some weed, or if you tried to smoke with some weed, you're a political fucking prisoner. In fact, I'm a veteran of the drug war. I remember the first time I got fingerprinted for some weed and how wonderfully traumatic that was. And now, Republicans and Republican governors and Republican venture capitalists are profiting off this shit. Fuck you and everything about that. Hitting fast forward again. I read a stat today that blew me the fuck away. I had to sit down and smoke a joint. An acre of hemp removes 10 tons of CO2 in 3 months. I'll say it again. An acre of hemp removes 10 tons of CO2 in 3 months. The same amount of CO2 that it would take an old-growth oak forest to do in 60 years. Do you see an advantage there?
Yeah.
Hello?
And it's ever so renewable. It's low intensity.
Jobs.
Yeah.
The problem is some Southern or some Appalachian or some Western, like Idaho or North Dakota, sheriff or governor or senator going, hey, they're growing weed over there, and we're not getting a cut, so it's marijuana, and we're stopping it. In fact, when people go, what happened to America? We used to be so competitive. Well, the first thing was all Nixon. Nixon with the drug war. I'll get back to that. And Nixon...
Nelson Rockefeller started it, though. Nelson Rockefeller started the war on drugs in New York.
And killed all creativity. Our brightest and best are doing drug sentences. Think about that for a second.
It's stupid. It is absolutely stupid.
Our brightest and best, the inventive, the people, they're doing drug sentences, or people who had a good idea, they wouldn't do it because, that has something to do with weed and we don't want to get busted. That's been the cloud over everything for almost 50 fucking years. We got all the answers and all the solutions in front of us. Meanwhile, we even got we got Joe Biden because he has drug war money in his pocket. Mm-hmm. That's the real answer right there. Where's Joe Biden? Because he's making money off of it. We got Nancy Pelosi going, you mean trading stocks? Insider trading is wrong? Really, Nancy? We have to explain this to you? Seriously? And we have no, we have Democrats, everybody, no, you know what? If you're for legalization with no regulation, I'm going to take that and jump. No, no regulation. You want to grow weed or if you have a felony conviction for this shit, hey, come to the front of the line. Okay. Safety regulations, obviously, environmental regulations, but no regulation. Hitting the fast forward button again. I saw a guy convert hydrogen to run on a two-stroke engine. One of those little engines that some people put on bikes.
Yeah. Meep, 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 meep. Those.
It was running hydrogen. And it was amazing. I was like, wait a second. Now, the crazy part was you no longer had throttle control. The throttle control was by the rate of gas flow. And I was like, that's interesting. And it burns too fast. Technically, it burns too fast for a four-stroke. It's a little better than a two-stroke. The best engine for hydrogen is a rotary engine.
Ooh.
So meanwhile, am I? Yes. It just popped in your head, didn't it?
Yep.
Now, meanwhile, on YouTube, I saw an adventurous, and I'm going to put this, American fellow who built a rotary engine from scratch. It was a 10cc. He did it for like one of these RC cars or planes. It was one of the most beautiful sounds I've ever heard. I was like, if I had $1 trillion or whatever, I'd have this guy making engines for EVs. Hitting the fast forward button again. We don't even make bicycle parts in this country anymore. The best EV should be bicycle based. It shouldn't be trying to convert a 4,000 pound vehicle to run with batteries. It should be a 200 pound vehicle to run on batteries and whatever. You starting to see what I'm saying yet?
Yeah.
Then I saw another, a good old boy in Tennessee. He's figured out a way to make hemp hardwood from the byproduct of everything left after the buds. So let me wrap it all together in a bow. I came up with a thought. We need slogans. We need memes. We need attack ads. We need documentary pieces. Basically, we need to activate the youth of America. The people sitting around with their hands in their pockets, their face in their phones, with nothing to do, no job prospects, and capitalism that's fucking them in the ass. We need to get them all in hemp-based businesses, which are all remarkably labor-intensive and no automation in sight for 20 years. How about that?
Kind of feels like there could be a big change there.
I truly believe that Martin Luther was bipolar. And part,
the German theologian.
Yes, who came up with the Protestant Reformation. He didn't come up with that in 6 years. He came up with that, it seemed like, in a weekend. Because that's how that goes. Sometimes you have really bad ideas, they get you arrested.
Well, you know, Martin Luther nailed his theses to the door, and the maggot insurrectionists rubbed their feces on the floor.
There you go. So, I've had a really difficult grieving period with the help of this show, Reddit, and just talking to random people. And believe it or not, my weed dealers. When the best counseling you're getting is from your weed dealer, you got to do something different, man. You got to do something different. everything's fucked up sideways.
Well, you know, Todd just sent me an observation you might appreciate. Remember, Todd says, D.C. is cannabis-friendly, so those people who come from the hinterlands come to D.C. where you're allowed to grow plants in a little apartment or procure it, yet they rail against it to satisfy their constituents.
Fuck everything about that right now. If you're a cannabis pro-politician...
We've got to protect our precious children from the marijuanas. Here.
I mean, that's about it, isn't it?
No, it's about the prison system and about the probation system. And Tiffson, it's all about that. That's what it's about at this point. Everybody's making so much money. We're all looking off the cliff of capitalism. So nobody wants anything to change, and change is scaring everybody. That's what's really going on.
Thereabouts, yeah.
Meanwhile, if Joe doesn't fix at least his weed thing, we're going to get Trump again. I can't have that. If everything I'm planning doesn't work, I'm going to have to leave. I love this country, and I'll miss you. But I don't like anywhere where this is headed. Because this weekend, while I'm at the train station, for contrast, I saw one of these lifted 450 or 45, whatever the fuck it was, with Six Flags off of it. Now, you know, go Brandon, Trump 24, the Punisher desecration Civil War flag, you know, the blackout flag, because that's the Civil War flag, if you're totally honest with yourself. That's what's going on there. And a new one that says, if you voted for Joe Biden, you owe me gas money. And this weekend, I lost my phone, which is the most brutal experience in modern technical life, because you cease to exist. You didn't write any numbers down. Hell, you don't even have your bookmarks anymore. And my cell phone company was closed. It was great. So, you there? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Can I lose you?
No, I'm right here.
All right. I thought about, I said, if you come up with some wacky, recumbent, composite-bodied EV, one of those fuckers in a truck is going to try to kill you, because that's what they do. So you got to fix that problem, too. Am I wrong?
No, I don't think so at all.
How you do it? Is you make them cool. You make them look like they're Italian designed. And in perfect American fashion, you make them fast as fuck. That's how you do it. And you hire people. You go from town to town and hire people and help. Ask for help. Because the answer to all our problems is right here. I was watching some hippies who made a front-end suspension on one of these things out of plastic, and it worked. I was like, son of a bitch. We can't wait for Elon with his $40,000 and $50,000 cars to fix the issue. The answer is a guy in, say, Nicaragua, it's funny. When you see certain things, you see the end result, but then you have to figure out how to start. Who can you give him a vehicle that he can fix himself off of stuff that's around, or if he has to break it down, even the engine, he can do it himself. And you make that shit last for years and years and years and years, and you give everybody a job along the way. I don't know if you remember the Tron movie. Oh, Tron reference. There we go. The first one.
Yep. There we go. Tron reference.
You remember those, the light cycles?
Oh, of course. Yes.
I want to build one-seater, two-seater, and four-seater light cycle that's either electric or hybrid power. Lower models will actually be, you'll be able to pedal if you really, really want to. Do it for less than $10,000 and offer financing and jobs and have the Chinese and the Japanese over here copying it in 5 years. You can get an ugly electric bike for $3,000. That's never going to happen. See, I live in Miami. You also got to be cool.
Yeah, you mean like, you know, style points?
Yes. You got to make people want it. Nobody wanted a Tesla until the first two-seater Roadster. Now you can't get one of those for less than $500,000 because they're collector's items. I had a vision of an EV that was low to the ground, that was pretty sturdy because it had, you know, a hemp carbon fiber composite shell and frame. And it looked like a two-wheeled Lamborghini, complete with Lamborghini outdoors. I don't know about my price point because, you know, if it's all American made, you want everybody to get paid. But I think just imagining it, oh, you can't buy one of those. Well, damn it, that sucks. You should be able to buy one of those. So, how do you facilitate that? Well, you start a political action committee with actual people on the ground. People who are looking for work, people with felonies, people with weed convictions, who pass out weed pens. Remember that picture I sent you?
Yep.
Did you get that?
Yep.
That pen is the best smoking vaping device I've seen in 10 years. And it costs $3. And on a semi-industrial scale, it would cost 50 cents to fill. And you would go from house to house and go, no, we're here to, you know, we're the so-and-so, the weed party. Here you go. This is for you if you're trying to quit smoking, if you have an ache or pain, if you're feeling a little anxious, because we're also here to check on your mental health and mental wealth, because that's what we're about. And if you wanted a mail-in ballot, because we can do that for you too. And for that contact, you can pay those people. You've made a friend now, so you can put that in your database. And hell, that the first one's free. You want more? You got a customer, because PACs are allowed to make money to support themselves, aren't they? Isn't that what I heard you said? Everything on, because I hadn't been able to listen to your Thursday or Friday show live. I think out of the last 1,000 shows, I missed 5 live. So I'm a pretty loyal listener, yeah. I would say. And everything you said, everything that was said on the Friday show was a part of my mania. I heard that today. I was like, son of a bitch, they're all talking about stuff that I'm going through right the fuck now. Isn't this a weird synchronicity? I actually got to explain your transness to someone totally. We were talking about you today. I was vaping. She was smoking a cigarette. And I said, what happened was we're all born female.
Well, we are all conceived female, certainly.
For the first month, I think. And then there's a chemical in the that's in her uterine that it allows the, I guess, Y to express itself.
Yeah, the Y expresses itself, and the Y flips a switch that makes the zygote be bathed in testosterone.
Yes. So we were all female once. And then one day, some of us became male.
Yeah.
I imagine, and I explained this to her, you being from a coal manufacturing environment with lots of DNA-destroying chemicals, or that chemical that you said that your mom took.
Possibly, yeah.
You never made the physically, you made the transformation from male to female, but it didn't catch in your brain. So you were always a girl. I think that's the basis of gender dysphoria.
I think, I mean, there's a lot of thought that goes into that, and there's a lot of people who kind of who think that could be a possibility. You know, in my case, you know, I was powerless against the effects of testosterone when puberty hit, and it hit like a ton of bricks, and it was just heartbreaking.
Didn't change your mind, though.
No, it didn't.
Did it?
No. And the funny thing is, if you see pictures of chromosome, if you see a picture of an X chromosome and a Y chromosome, The Y chromosome is this stubby little stunted about a half a chromosome. It's like not right. Because compared to all the other chromosome pairs, it's like half of one. It's like the job got half done. So I don't know what that says in terms of evolutionary biology, but it's a thing.
Did you know that the gay brain produces more dopamine?
I think I read something like that along the way.
In fact, it may be the whole basis of gayness. And I could go real far and deep on that, but
Jerry, there's one problem with all of this, and I don't mean with you, but I mean this line of inquiry, and namely, what it is that medical science tends to look at things in terms of how do we fix things, how do we cure things.
There's nothing to fix. A raindrop lands how it lands.
Right. It's not a medical problem.
A medical event. Because I've learned to live with having a bioelectric brain. And I've done some great things with it, and I'm about to do some great things moving forward. I want to start that pact to free the we prisoners and free people from the false consequences. I want to stop all drug arrests in the United States. In fact, unless you're hurting a child, an animal, or an environment, or people's finances, I got no problem with you, or if you're violent, obviously. We have to fix things. And it's us.
Well, curiously, I saw a story today that said that 77-year-old Leonard Peltier has contracted COVID. And every time I see a story about him, it's just like, God, can we not just let this poor old man out of prison?
My dad's getting better from COVID. That's what I was about to snap.
I was about to ask.
I saw him, and he had Carolyn vibes to him. That's how a lot of kids say things today, and it kind of broke me. He looked like shit. He sounded like shit.
Got a dear friend who has it right now, and the first time I heard him on the phone, and that was, I think, a week ago last Saturday. I was on my way back from Charleston from filing for office, and it was awful. I'd never heard the likes of it. Even with, like, pneumonia, I'd never heard anything like this.
Gut wrenching. It gutted me. I snapped. I didn't do too many. I made a lot of friends, I got to tell you that. I think I have a girlfriend, too. I'm not sure. But she's 26. She's beautiful. When you're having a neurotypical event, it makes you very charismatic. I can't explain it past that. I was definitely batting out of my weight class, if that makes any sense.
Out kicking your coverage?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, I threw it out of the stadium. So back to Reddit. I made the mistake of thinking that people on Reddit are you people. No, people on Reddit are packet piranhas. They look for any weakness or anything they want to jump on. And I got jumped because I'm also, here's where it gets really good. I'm in a men's sexual health and mental health subreddit. that the most of the other Reddit, you know, it's an anti-porn subreddit because porn is pretty terrible, actually. And it's part of a lot of problems we have as men and women. Nobody talks to each other. Nobody takes each other to dances, movies, or cotillions. But everyone's isolating and everyone's empty. It's pretty fucking terrible, Robin. And nobody's talking about it. Because all of America's in the closet over something. Republicans like closets. Makes everybody easier to control. I'm tired of it. And before too long, I'm going to try it the right way. I want a weed-dealing liberal Christian PAC that feeds the hungry, houses the homeless, saves the planet by sucking the carbon out of the air, gives the jobless a job, or the marginalized a purpose and a place. And we're going to promote cannabis products to get there. The fact that Roger has a son or some kind of family relation who has 100 pounds of pot and can't sell it is retarded. Can't send it through the mail system. We'll fuck you on that, too. All of that. This is, for me...
Oh, the banking regulations alone...
Fuck that. It's time for crypto. And we'll bribe politicians in crypto, too, because that seems how you get things done. And any sheriff, judge, or politician that doesn't play along, there's a scene from the original Dune movie where Aaliyah says, many Fremen warriors. You remember that?
Yes.
My brother is coming with many Fremen warriors. So I imagined Jerry's coming with many Jewish lawyers. What do you think about that?
Oh, my God. You're going to.
I imagined the starter car scene in the new movie, but instead of starter car, it's just lawyers with briefcases all drifting in quietly, coming up the steps. Where's my cowbell back? Come on.
Okay. Yeah, I'm reaching for it. It's like it's like something a friend of mine said one time when we were out deer hunting. I was a notoriously bad shot, and there were a couple of little there was a decent sized buck, and a spiker, standing off in a little ways in my field. Couldn't shoot at him. My buddy said, you know, those guys were down in my yard not long back. I said, yeah. He said, yeah, I heard them talking. He said, if you see that biggin' with his Browning 300 mag, don't move. He cannot hit you. Dude could write an injunction that would make you stop being a deer, but... he can't hit you. If you move, you might walk into one of his strays. So, yeah, I get that. And by the way, you got a note. You got a note, Jerry, from Jude in the Great Northwest. Are you standing? By the way, are you standing in a windy place?
No, I have. I'm trying out my new phone thing. Let me fix that for you.
Okay.
I'm learning all this capabilities. I wish you would have said something about the sound before. How's this?
We shall see.
Is that better?
It seems to be.
Okay, go ahead.
You had a note from Jude in the Great Northwest. She said, just a short note to let Jerry know there are many of us who find ourselves traveling on the periphery of life, oftentimes misunderstood. Our strength resides in giving voice during the times of disillusionment. And yes, honesty. We hear you, and we care for you. Peace, Jude.
Okay, I got the priest of the horn, lit a fire for me, I'm good.
Yeah.
I know I'm crazy, but I know I'm right. I think this is the path. I imagined 500 campaigners for Robin Kincaid with weed pens walking all over Appalachia, passing out weed pens and signing up voters. And gummies, if that was, you know, not your thing. Because a gummy saved my dad. That's the other thing. And I had to sneak it to him. And I couldn't tell him what was in it. Ain't that fucked up? He's in death's waiting room reading the magazines. And I had to lie to him a little bit.
Yeah. 12-year-old copy of People and 23-year-old copy of Reader's Digest. Because that's what's in the waiting room. But he took the gummy. It helped.
He ate 80% of it. Then he spit it out because he spit out the last 20% because he figured the gig was up on something because that's my dad. But I think. Watching the strongest man I've ever met, carrying him to his bed, that kind of fucked me up.
No
Never
kid.
Carried my dad before. Over a disease that his dumbass brothers, instead of saying we're all getting vaccinated, succumbed to the Joe Rogans of the world and started saying things like plandemic and shit like that. This is hard, Robin.
Well, I don't know how you're not just suffused with fury.
I was. I was caught beating up toddlers on Reddit over propaganda and dogma, starting fights. Because the human brain is funny. If you're mad about certain things or depressed about certain things and its mission is to keep you going and keep you happy and an extra mission of not letting you polar flip, then it starts putting out a lot of fires and that energy starts manifesting in the weirdest places. And oddly enough, it is Brian Flores getting fired didn't help, believe it or not, because I was running out of places to run, if that makes any sense.
It does.
So finally, I had to low-key snap. It only lasted 59 hours where I didn't sleep. Hung out with crazy people and did moderately crazy things and had the time of my life, honestly.
Those are good.
Very little.
Those are nice moments.
Because that's what liberals do.
Well, yesterday, I mean, my big time yesterday, I went out on the great saltine and disposable coffee cup search. 0 for 2.
How'd that go?
0 for 2.
My synagogue has all those cups. You were talking about them. I was like, we have those. They're great.
Yeah, I mean, they come with the lids and the little sleeves to keep you from burning your little hands. And
these are even no. We ran out of some because so I know there was a thing because we got good buddy. We want whatever we get whatever we want. But we have the next. We got paper ones now, and the lids. That's the first thing I noticed because if you ever had one of those lids slip off and you know burn you, that sticks in your memory. So meanwhile, my idea on the other end, because you get lots of ideas, and these are all good. You build an EV. Did the EV part of Build Back Better go through?
No.
Fuck.
No, and that's one of the things that I hope to be talking about in my campaign somewhere down the road. This denizens of Bedlam legislature that we have passed laws against electric cars, particularly Teslas. And it was backed this is a bunch of Republicans in the legislature. It was backed by car dealers. And they've got a distaste for electric vehicles. And it makes no sense.
Jerry, this is a state that, you know, the rest of the country may be making electricity out of natural gas or some of that marijuana or making electricity out of wind and shit, but we ain't going to do that because we're West Virginia and we're the coal state.
And so we generate electricity out of coal and pass bills against cars that would be charged on an electric on an electric current that is powered by coal. I mean, it reminds me of what Casey Stengel said to the 62 Mets. Does anybody here know how to play this game?
Nobody wants anything to really change. It's going to have to change from the grassroots. You just solved a big question in my head. With four wheels, it's considered a car. With three wheels, it's considered a bike. But fuck the rules on that, too. I'm going to make them with four wheels as well and just say, well, we wanted to do an EV thing, but they wouldn't let Joe Biden, so this is what we're doing. And y'all stored the capital, so fuck you. How about that?
Well, yeah, I mean, around here, out on the little dirt roads and trails and stuff, they're not supposed to be on the roads, but people are not. They get kind of libertarian about that. The little four-wheel, two-seater, they call them gators.
Yes.
Oh, they're huge here. Big.
Chinese are starting to make those, and if those were, suppose they made hemp composite-based EVs like that in West Virginia. You know how many jobs that would be?
Jobs.
Do you know how many jobs that would be if you could run one of those as a generator when your power went out?
Yeah.
I do. Like the Ford F-150, but like so normal people could afford them? And if it sat all day out in the sun, it was charged up?
There we go.
Or hell, if you had an alcoholic still, fuck it. I'll get you a motor that burns alcohol. Because everybody has a different environment. For instance, a pedal model would not work in Appalachia. You need something to get up a fucking hill. Sometimes a hill that's 50 degrees. Have to be built in Appalachia to survive the local environment.
Yeah.
But it can be done.
Sure.
And you capitalize it with cannabis and crypto.
Yeah, see, I'm all discussions.
Don't worry about the crypto part.
All discussions of crypto are lost on me.
Don't worry.
Not because I'm hostile, but I just can't wrap my mind around it.
I'll give it to you really quick. I thought of something. I actually thought of an explanation, and I said, the next time I talk to Robin, I'm going to explain it. Crypto is nothing more than a long CVS register receipt that 10, 20, 100, a million, 1,000, whatever, computers have a consensus on. They can all change the receipt, and once a certain amount of receipt tape goes by, that's a block. Now, the newer crypto, programs can run on every block and use the resources of all the computers in the network. That by itself is amazing. It's computer power.
What happens to crypto when quantum computing comes along?
That's the other thing. They're working on that. The whole thing is freaking amazing.
Oh, I read about quantum computing every now and then just because I like to have my mind blown. And it's like,
it hurts my head.
Yes.
I'm a guy who had three different versions of a VIC-20 and three different versions of a Commodore 64. People I grew up with, and in an all lily white, halfway Christian Republican, they weren't Republican, but they had Republican vibes to them, seven-day adventurous school, I was the salutatorian and the senior class president. People go, how come you didn't become our own Elon Musk? The coming out of the closet answer is I had undiagnosed mental illness and never fully addressed it. That would steal any potential. And then, just before I turned 40, I had a traumatic brain injury. I'd had literally the worst medical care in the world. I'm happy to be alive and putting my words together in the proper order. My face hit the ground 25 miles an hour. I just got a dentist to fix, or at least look at my teeth because I broke a lot of teeth that day. Never got that looked at. So you have your issue, madam. I have my jihad. I like using that word for anybody it might piss off.
No, the original meaning refers to a spiritual battle.
The only thing Yeshua said for us to do is feed the sick, feed the hungry, take care of the sick, and visit the people in jail. This mission I'm on takes care of all three.
Yeah, it's not a long list. Really isn't.
And if I get to have acres of hemp growing in Republican states without the Republican cannabis mafia that's set up with all the dispensaries and even the growing of CBD, then that'll be great. Not going to let them steal the issue from us. Not going to let them steal the money. Fuck y'all. Y'all caused this problem. And now you want to profit from it? I don't think so. I got issues about this. And I'm going to deal with them constructively.
But at least you're honest about it.
I've started being honest, very honest with people. And it's been kind of cool, actually. Because people don't know what they don't know.
Dunning-Kruger.
I'm happy I can articulate it.
Yeah.
My vision said, or came up with is if somebody in the next 5 years from now, somebody gets, quote unquote, arrested for any kind of drug, they will not be arrested. They will be detained. After you do the warrant search, they get out of the car, and through the wonders of FaceTime or Google Duo, they talk to a fucking counselor right then and there. Are you okay? Are you being trafficked? Do you want an STD test? Do you want a pregnancy test? Are you hungry? Hold on. We got a hot meal for you coming in 5 minutes. Do you want to talk to a nurse? Do you want to talk to your dad somewhere and let him know you're okay? Do you got a place to stay? Do you have anywhere for your stuff? Do you want a fucking shower? Those are the questions that should be asked. If in the last 30 years at 4 a.m, you had somebody kicking a door because they smell weed, we're going to fix that somehow. Yes, we are. If you had somebody shot on a drug raid, we're going to fix that as well.
It's all a choice, isn't it? It really is all a choice. I'm getting a question. Arnold in PA wants to know if it's not too intrusive. He said, what did Jerry crash on? How'd he crash?
Bicycle. Two-wheel road bike. My shoe slipped in the front wheel. I was chasing a train to go to a job I hated, and I was late because I was really depressed and couldn't come up with the energy. I heard the train whistle. I had a corporate say, if you're late one more time, we're going to write you up. And on a fucking Sunday, I was rushing for a train that I was late to. I was going about 25, 26 miles an hour. And my shoe that wasn't tied slipped off my foot into the front tire. And then I was talking to angels who were telling me exactly how I needed to fall next to not break my neck. And they were telling me, it's going to hurt, it's going to suck, but you won't die. And then I landed. It hurt. And I was semi-okay. Not really okay, because I did pass out first time and last time in my life, passed out and have gone through some shit. But it all started coming apart. And I got to put this out there for everyone who hears this. If you ever hear of anyone who has a head injury, do not give them Motrin. Give them heroin. Give them fentanyl. Give them aspirin. Give them weed. Give them alcohol. Do not give them Motrin. Motrin interferes with the brain's ability to repair itself. That's when I started losing my memories. Passwords, phone numbers, people's names, people's faces, concepts, the ability to do math in my head, the ability to control anxiety, the ability to control rage and intrusive thoughts, all of that. The whole shit show that it put together to deal with a polarizing brain came apart, smashing my face on the concrete, chasing a train for a job I didn't give a fuck about. That's how it happened.
Jesus. And how many years ago?
2008. Then I started getting hyper-aggressive and had anger problems, and I got fired from my corporate job anyway. The best part was I couldn't do my corporate job anymore because of the words. I was essentially a salesman, appointment setter, the best, helped them move millions of dollars of product from their fucking commercials. I lost my words, Robin. You deal with words. What if you lost your timing tomorrow?
That would be mad. That would be unbearable.
And or your ability to come up with a quick response. Or the ability to lose emotional isolation that you really need when you're selling stuff. You can't get caught up in your client's emotions. You got to move them through the process. But I lost the ability because I didn't know if their emotions were my emotions because I hit my head.
Jesus.
Onward. I got my brains back through all kinds of ways. Actually, neuroplasticity is a thing. And retention, as they call it in semen retention, actually improves dopogenic regeneration neuropathways. I don't know why it works, but it does. It's what the gurus practice. Makes you an incredible lover, too. And cures ED, which a lot of people have because of porn, oddly enough. It's weird, all the things we traipsed across in this short conversation. But, yeah. I got an outlet, finally, for a way to monetize all my pain and all my bad experiences and make some changes egolessly, because that's the most important part to me. There's days I don't really want to talk to people or even, have people recognize my face. And they get offended because they're like, weren't you the chipper, sparkling guy? Well, why are you,
not always.
Why are you being that way? Well, my brain shifted. I'm kind of scared of you right now. I wish it wasn't that way. I'm seeing different sides of you that I ever saw before. That's a conversation for another day. I want to start a pack. I want to start a delivery app that runs sensorlessly. Doesn't run on the Amazon cloud. Doesn't run on this cloud. Which when you get right down to it, they're all corporate clouds. But if they don't like what you're doing, they want it to stop, they can. Nobody wants future President Rogan. Are you starting to get that vibe now?
Oh, God, because you're the second person to say that.
No, I was the first one. But hopefully you can see it right now.
Yeah.
Because Pink Shrek has health products from his podcast in Publix. $30. It was the most expensive product in the office. I was like, you know what you have to do to get something into Publix? You got to jump over some hoops or be a right-wing Nazi. Because the family side of Publix is very right-wing Nazi-ish. There's something going on with that. The fact that Pink Shrek is pro-pot, got to take that out of his hands, because if he was on a ballot, my daughter would vote for him. And that freaks me out, because she used to be a liberal Democrat. They're co-opting all of that. They're taking the weed. See,
oh, I know.
If we let the Republicans take the weed and the crypto thing from us, we deserve whatever happens. I also had a crazy other idea of the Christian Socialist Rifle Association. Yeah. Like that, don't you? I thought you would.
That's special.
Yes. Because I noticed a lot of young black men are getting into automatic weapons. And you've got to harness that energy. Because the good old boys think they got all the guns. If there was in a hypothetical liberal Christian Rifle Association, Socialists of America, the number one tenet is no Russian influences or money, just to stick that in their fucking eye. It's time to stop playing nice, Robin, is the one. The too long didn't read it. It's synopsis. We have the tools. We need to go old school 60s on them. We need to start throwing Christian raves with black people with guns protecting from police who want to raid or anything else. And we're throwing the Christian politics on around everything, because then we can do what we want. Because they do it with that. They use it to line their pockets, though. I'll use it to make sure everybody's well paid, and I won't make anybody drink Kool-Aid. Maybe eat a veggie burger. Or a veggie burrito, because we got food trucks and Mexican music going. But yeah, we could be a movement too. We can dance and sing and everybody's invited. You guys with the pink hair or had a felony or had a problem that you're kicking, you go to the front of the line. Because you're survivors. And, oh, you got a felony for growing back in the 90s? Well, we want you to run a co-op and maybe a processing factory. The processing of hemp is very labor intensive because the technology has not been allowed to develop because of hemp and because of oil, really, and because of oil plastic. And do you
here,
know
you want to hear something? You want to hear something funny? Do you know who in more ways than one? You know who one of the biggest farmers on the east of the Mississippi is?
Who? Bill Gates?
No. Make West Virginia great. That's big right. Old governor, West Jim Justice. He is the biggest.
What's his farm?
Corn. Corn.
Hmm.
He could be. He
more
could
money.
Be, he could be. He could be 100 times, 1,000 times richer if he was farming hemp. It's a fact.
Or we could. I'm not going to talk anybody into this anymore. Do you hear what I'm saying, Robin?
Yeah.
The time for soapboxing is over. The time for trying to explain policy is over.
Just do it.
I want to hire the meme writers. The people who come up with memes, I want them to do political ads. We can't sit there and explain policies. I thought of a funny political cartoon today that just made me chuckle. Donald Trump in a golf cart running from the police, like OJ style. Just really slow.
Who would be the Al Cowlings in that?
Rudy.
Yes.
And they just
yes.
And
yes.
They just keep looking behind them. Yeah. Playing Macho Man.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Hey Jerry,
I just got one more, and I'll let you go. Where okay. You run stuff like that? Is on the pop-up ad network. The way you change minds is running political cartoons and push-pull stuff like they're doing. Is Joe Biden doing a good job? Fuck you with that. In that pop-up space, and that takes money. And you make it funny, you make it clickable, and you use it as an organizing tool. But you got to do it 21st century style. The way we're doing stuff hasn't really worked since the 70s.
And you got to have the money to buy the ads. But, yeah.
So you sell weed from town to town and place to place. And you grow weed and you process weed and you make things out of weed and you put people to work and you...
Soylent Green is weed!
You come out with the Soylent Green. That's a good strain name. In fact, the fact that I haven't smoked any Soylent Green is a crime against humanity. Somebody needs to get on that, California.
Get on it, Oregon.
Get on that shit. I got so much more. I'm going to actually try to, like, focus it all down and figure out how it's done. But I'm excited. I think my daughter graduated. You know, this is the first time I got OG COVID at her graduation as an accountant. And then I told her, you know what? I'm going to start a pack and you're going to do all the bookkeeping. And if we have to figure out software to do it, we'll do it. Paying for and distributing stuff on the blockchain makes accounting really easy. That's one of the things it's good for. Who, you know, what was spent where and for what? It's right there.
Wow.
And with that, Robin, I bow, I wave to the whole porn community. I love you all. There's something all that you're really good at that in a perfect world, that if half my dreams come true, I'll put the touch on you to do it.
That's a great statement.
And we'll take
this entire community. There's something out there each and every one of us are really good at.
Like, I'm sure somebody out there can help me come up with, I had an idea, and that's the last idea I'll leave you with, because we're going to end up on, we're ending with food porn here.
Okay, I'm game.
Hemp cashew ice cream.
Damn.
Cashew ice cream is decadent, yes.
I bought a jar of cashew butter one day. And I thought it was the most luscious, elegant thing I'd ever eaten in my life. And I was, you know, I was spreading it on the saltines I could no longer find.
Cashew butter is good shit. I think a hemp cashew ice cream. Well, hell, I'd even ask Ben and Jerry, oldest hippies going, to kind of help with that. And if I can get their attention, I'm sure they'll use some of that Unilever money to help out.
There we go.
We need one liberal billionaire on our side.
Would be nice, wouldn't it? Would be nice.
Yes. Just one. Just one to call bullshit and fire. How do I call it? The fire hoses of money that are sometimes required.
Sometimes it does require one. Jerry, you take care of yourself, my friend.
Thank you for being there and putting on a show, because I'd have been screaming at people at Publix with crazy ideas. And
can't have that. Can't have that. Not in Florida. Can't be screaming at people in Publix.
They would have carted me away. I got to scream to you people, and most of it made sense, I hope. I love you all. Y'all have a great night.
You too. Take care, Jerry. Bye now.
Take care.
Our buddy Scary Jerry. Truly unique and thoughtful individual. Listen, I'm going to take a quick break and we'll come back for the final portion of the program and maybe some more conversation, whatever. There's an update. You know, we were talking about Mo Brooks talking about, we got to get away from this here pigmentation problem. Well, there was kind of a solution to that. You'll note I didn't say it was a good one. But, yeah, that's on the back end, and that's, you know, when I get back, and we'll see how it goes, okay? Sorry for the delay. Thank you.
All right, that's better. Thanks for your forbearance. We are into the third hour of the program. If you'd like to engage in a little conversation, you are more than welcome to jump in. Both all the lines are open, and you can dial right in anytime if you wish. And we'll see where the conversation takes us. And, well, let's check in with Scott. Hey, Scott.
Whoa. You do that to me. You creep up on me like them Fruit of the Loom shorts. Jeez.
I crept? I didn't think I was creeping. You rang, I answered.
Well, you did, but you sometimes you don't answer right away. You know?
Yeah, but I was just I was right there in the moment.
You certainly were. And speaking of in the moment, hats off to Scary Jerry. He is quite an idea man, or idea person, whichever you prefer.
Well, I agree. I mean, big ideas.
Yeah, and I wish I had taken notes. I'll have to listen to the replay later on and take copious notes because, I mean, you talk about an idea factory, and that, you know, back when I was doing sales back in the 80s, when everybody wanted to be a yuppie, or pretty much everybody thought they were a yuppie. But when I was first you sell your soul. And then once you've done that, you're qualified to sell insurance products and mutual funds, which is what
and used cars.
Yeah, and used cars. I sold cars too. And my wife at the time was in the vinyl siding industry. So we were going to hell on the super train, the Fred Silverman super train. But anyway, those days are behind me. But there was this guy, I don't know if he's still upright and above ground, a motivational speaker by the name of Brian Tracy. And you sent away and you got his book of cassette tapes. And you could sit home in your underwear and listen to his different lectures on how to be a better manipulator of consumers.
Now, was it okay if you actually watched it fully clothed or listened to it fully clothed? I mean,
well, you could do that. If you were a real go-getter, you had on your three-piece suit complete with vest and
yes, and of course.
Pocket square, you know, and your fucking wingtips. But I wish I still had my wingtips. I would wear them with pride and colorful socks. They didn't like you to wear colorful ties or colorful socks in the mutual fund insurance sales.
No, because it makes you seem frivolous and like maybe you'll take off to I don't know, Costa Rica with the client funds.
Yeah, they thought you were going to vote Democrat if you wore stuff with too much color in it. But but anyway, getting back to what I was saying about Jerry, he is the Brian Tracy of the counterculture, is what it comes down to. So,
and you mean that in a good way.
Yeah. But, and another one was you ever heard the name Earl Nightingale?
Yes.
Well, his company, I think he had been dead by that time, and we're talking about in the 80s. By that time, he had been dead for 15 years. But he had a place up in Chicago, a mail order place, that sold all these different motivational tapes. And there have been days, Robin, when I've been gone down to the recycling place to catch in my cans and plastic bottles, wishing that I had back some of the money that I spent either on cigarettes or on fucking motivational tapes. Because I'm not sitting on a pile at this point in life. And I may still have the tapes if anybody wants them. Gently used, mind you, if you want to get out there and sell shit to people. But Jerry is the Nightingale Conant is the name of the company up in Chicago. He is the motivational speaker for the new age. So hats off to you, Jerry. You're not scary at all. 98.7% of what you said made perfect sense. Nothing scary about that.
No, not truly.
And why do they have to be the ones calling the shots? We don't get a turn unless we take a turn. Is that a good motto?
Pretty much. Yeah, I think so.
Can you see that on a button? I was waiting for you.
Yeah, I forgot about the button. I'm so sorry about that. I really wanted to make that happen.
Well, I'm sure he's listening.
Yeah, so tell him now.
All right, I wear this. Even today I wore it. It's a little button, maybe an inch and a half across. I bought it in Cincinnati before I moved out here, and that's been more than 20 years. And it's a blue background on which is a fried egg, over which are the words, "A mind is a terrible thing to confuse with an egg." And it just tickled me when I saw it in the shop. And I said, I want me one of them. So I bought it and I wear it. And it is one of the best conversation starters that has been devised. If you want to talk about pot, you know, because younger people don't get it. They say, well, what does that mean exactly? And then you have to explain to PSA, this is your brain. This is your brain on drugs. You remember that? Or you're old enough to remember
that? Oh, I remember it. Yeah. Dude, are you going to eat that?
Yeah. But anyway, pardon me. Jesus. Where are my camels? Bring me a camel. But anyway, I just got a, just a, it was a, it got me up is what it did. your conversation with Jerry. He is right. He's right on with it.
Well, and it's interesting you would say that because, you know, you've got that counterculture energy going for you. You recognized something in what he was saying.
I think everybody did. I'm sure they. I can't be the only one that got it. And see, it's everything. Well, what made me bring up the motivational tapes? One of the things that Brian Tracy did say that made perfect sense was everything, as you look around you, at one point existed only in the form of an idea. Which made me wonder, the universal symbol for having an idea is a light bulb floating above your head. What floated above Thomas Edison's head when he got the notion?
Oh, for God's sakes.
Of the incandescent bulb.
Was it was a candle or a hurricane lamp.
These are the things that I think about. And I'm a kindred spirit, I think. Or Jerry's a kindred spirit with me. But it really does come down to it. Everything that currently exists at one time existed only as an idea. And we have good ideas. We have implementable ideas. We have ideas that at one point in time, not too long ago, were actually put into practice. And most people agree with them. Like, oh, I don't know, Social Security, Medicare. You know, treating one another decently, feeding the hungry, housing.
Not gratuitously crapping on people?
Yeah. So, I mean, if we've done it before, we have a track record. What is preventing us from getting down and getting the job handled? And it's not a job. It's a mission. It's a calling. That's, I think he also used that word. Jerry, you got me charged up, son.
I hear you. You're positively worked up.
I may go up and re-shingle the roof before this is over.
As long as you stay out of the gutters.
Yeah, that too. Get me some of them, those things you put over your gutters so that a leaf doesn't have a chance of getting in there and clogging up your gutters.
Nasty anyway. Business that.
Yeah. It's vile. It's like, you've cleaned out gutters before, haven't you?
Yes.
Oh, that is the most putrid stuff that's nastier than Republican talking points. And that's pretty goddamn nasty.
That's pretty ugly.
They come right out of the south end of a northbound elephant. I want you to know. You've seen that picture of the lady standing behind the symbol of the Republican Party, and the elephant is delivering hot and fresh. Got a little neon sign on his back, says hot and fresh. GOP talking points. Come on. Come on, come on. God, I am just, I'm pumped.
I love it. I love it that you are.
And it's a Monday. God, it's hard to get me to do much of anything on a Monday. I did go pay the rent, which, I'm a little late. Usually she gives me till the 5th, but I wasn't motivated on the 5th. I just could not get.
You know, every time you say the word motivation, I hear a clip from the Beverly Hillbillies because I'm that old.
I'm older than you.
Because, you know, Jethro Bodine had him. He'd done plum graduated sixth grade. And you remember Uncle Jed bought a movie studio?
I do. I remember that.
And I think the name of it was Mammoth Pictures.
Yeah, that rings a bell.
And Jethro was all worked up one day.
He's going to be a director, wasn't he?
Yeah, he had him a beret and everything and a megaphone.
An ascot?
And an ascot and jodhpurs. And... Max Baer Jr. was a brilliant comic actor in for that role. Uncle Jed, I was just over on the Brando set. You know what they got? And it's the fact that it's the Brando set that makes it so good.
was over on the Brando set. You know what they got, Uncle Jed? Motivation. They're just swimming in it. We know some of that motivation.
And wasn't there an episode about the Hollywood kiss? It's not a real kiss, but it looks like one for the movies. I'm sure there was an episode involving the Hollywood kiss. And it was part of that storyline, that plot twist, where Jethro was going to be a director.
Couldn't make up his mind whether to be a fry cook or a brain surgeon or a streetcar conductor. But he was leaning toward streetcar conductor because they got to carry one of them nickel squirters.
Yeah. I was thinking about that when Jerry was talking about the cyber currency. What is that called?
Crypto.
Crypto. But I was thinking about that. The cryptocurrency is basically the thing on the good humor man's belt that had nickels and dimes and quarters in it. The change maker. That's what we used to call him. What did Jethro call him? A nickel squirter?
Nickel squirter.
Jeez. Oh, man.
I always kind of wanted one of them, too. I thought they was kind of cool.
I used to have one.
Damn, really?
When I delivered newspapers, the paper, the old Washington Daily News, when I would deliver it, published Monday through Saturday, and the cover price was 5 cents, and you got all 6 days for 30 cents, or no, for a quarter, I think. You gave them that extra paper for free, apparently. And they'd never have the right change. They'd never have nickels. So I finally got tired of digging in my pockets. And my dad said, well, why don't you get a – he didn't call it a money squirter. He called it a – what word did I use? A change maker. Yeah, change maker. I wish I still had that.
Streetcar conductor. Well, I remember, in fact, I think I came up with a turn of phrase one day. I was thinking about a man that, well, one of the former husbands of one of my sisters. And I forget what the exact phrase was, but it was something like a miscreant with a nickel squirter. Because I remember when he worked at the gas station. And he had, and this was back when, you know, other people pumped your gas. And he had that nickel squirter on there. Of course, I think gas was $39.9 per gallon back then.
Okay, that's some time ago.
Yeah, a long time ago.
The nickel had just been invented, as a matter of fact.
It was so old. Yes, in fact, the nickels were wooden.
I remember when nickels had buffaloes on them.
That's a while.
You had a Native American on one side and a buffalo on the back side. And you remember where the Trump Hotel was in D.C., the old post office?
Oh, yeah.
I used to get on the bus and go over to Al's Magic Shop, which was catty corner across from where the Trump Hotel building is now.
On Pennsylvania Avenue.
Pennsylvania Avenue. And you could get a nickel. I think it was made of plastic. And it looked just like a real nickel. And you've seen squirting flowers that guys would wear at conventions in their lapel. And it had a little bulb that ran down the sleeve and would squirt water. Here, snuff my flower, Fred. Oh, let me. You know. Well, this was a buffalo nickel that squirted. And the trick was you'd be at a party, you know, liven up any party with the squirting buffalo nickel. You'd go up to a slightly inebriated friend and say, take a look at this buffalo nickel, Fred, and tell me, is that a boy buffalo or a girl buffalo? And then you'd hit the bulb, and it would squirt. I'm not making this up.
Oh, well, I don't think so.
I am not making
this up. I'm absolutely certain you are not.
and the whoopee cushion. See, what you do, would do with the whoopee cushion.
And the joy buzzer.
Is fill it up with brown gravy.
Oh, Jesus.
Hilarity ensued. There goes dinner. Bye, dinner. Anyway, and the fake barf, which had an interesting name. The trade name of that product is Whoops.
Really?
Yes. Look it up. You think I'd make this shit up, Robin? I don't.
Oh, no. I trust you. I trust you implicitly. This is too important to lie about.
As a matter of fact, speaking of the Trump Hotel, soon to be something else hotel, one day my across the back fence neighbor and I, who both did magic at the time, got on the bus, went over to Al's, and I didn't see any magic tricks that I wanted to buy, but I was in the novelty area where they have the fake the whoops and the whoopee cushions and stuff, and they had fake dog poop. And I bought me a pile of fake dog food. And where the bus would let us off was where the Trump Hotel is now. All the buses coming in from the suburbs. So I said, I know. I took it out of the bag, put it on the sidewalk to see if a ordinary Washington, D.C. pedestrian would do a quick step around like this, like the hassock in the Dick Van Dyke Show. Sometimes yes. He fell over it, and sometimes he dodged it. And none of them did. So I think a guy stole it. So I was out $1.50. Man made off with my fake dog poop, officer. What can I do?
And that was a tough $1.50 too.
Oh yeah, you got to peddle a lot of newspapers for that. But God, I don't even know what's on that block. I'm sure it's a high rise of some sort, an office building. 1205 Pennsylvania Avenue. And his mom and dad ran the souvenir end of the business. He did them on one side of it was magic, and then the back and the other side were like fireworks and souvenirs. My.
Fireworks?
Oh, yeah, because in D.C. fireworks were legal, but in Alexandria, where I grew up, they were not, and they were especially not because my dad was a firefighter. So he was ixnay on the ironworks bay, you know?
Yeah, kind of had a vested interest in it, you mean?
Well, he just didn't think... First of all, he thought you're just burning up money. That was his baseline philosophy. But
Oddly enough, my father worked around fire, too, and his response was the same. You're just setting fire to money.
Yeah. But the other side of it was the safety factor where you're going to lose an eye or lose a hand or whatever with the M-80s and the fucking cherry bombs. But how the hell did I get onto this?
I don't know, but you triggered the hell out of me because suddenly I remember fourth grade and, you know, toward the end of the day, and this is back before, you know, standard a whole bunch of standardized testing and stuff, you might have a little extra time. And the teacher would read to you from a story,
yeah,
a novel.
Yeah.
I remember there was one about a boy who, a pioneer frontier boy who got lost in a canebrake and the term ended before we ever found out if he got out. I still don't know.
Oh, Lord. They can't leave you hanging like that.
And it usually happened toward the end of the school year because you're just, teacher was out of energy and patience. Kids were out of attention span.
Yeah.
And so we're just going to read a book this afternoon.
Yeah, they would do that.
And we had one about a little boy who should have known better, but decided to play with fireworks, and he went blind.
Oh.
And the whole story was about how he had to go to school to learn how to deal with the dog, and I'm not laughing. And how he had to learn Braille, and I'm not laughing, but what it was so transparent, it was such looking back, it was such transparent propaganda. You know, because we were all supposed to go home for the summer, and when the 4th of July came around, we were supposed to say, no, I don't want to play with them fireworks, I don't want to be like that little boy that blew his face up in the story.
Or his cousin, Stumpy.
Yeah, he's the one who didn't throw the cherry bomb fast enough. You're awful. I'm going to get hate mail for that now. And eventually, and you know, you look back and it's like, wow, is that how it really, this is how it started. And eventually my teacher would just hand me the book and go, you read to him. I'm tired. Because I did the character, you know, I put the character voices and everything and, you know, really brought it to life. And still wonder what happened to that kid in the canebrake. Because it was terrifying. Every way he turned, he was just getting, he was getting cut up by the cane. And you couldn't tell. And it was said that the canopy was so thick, he couldn't see the stars nor the sun. And so he didn't know where was east or where was west.
How did he wind up there?
I think he went chasing his dog or something because the dog got the scent of a bar. You see,
this is why I was always a cat person. You know?
And that's the lesson you take from it. Yes, absolutely.
Pardon me. What was that Old Yeller thing? I think the first movie I ever saw was Old Yeller. And I said, well, this is not going to end well for the dog, you know. And it didn't.
This is not going to end well for the dog. I remember one evening, it was years ago now, I'd come back from Kroger's. And I just happened to be walking down the dog food aisle. And I looked over and there's a big pallet of Old Yeller brand dog food. And the first thing through my mind is, don't they know how that ends? Is there anything Disney will not market?
Apparently not. I mean, you know, the other day we were talking about poor Vincent Van Gogh would not have done well.
Fuck!
During the time.
That meme. With the mask hanging from one ear.
Well, I saw one in my memories the other day on Facebook. He also didn't do well. It's a picture of Van Gogh with a Mickey Mouse hat with one ear. Oh, God. And for those of you out in the horn community who are only listening on your left channel, I apologize now. Sincerely, at the bottom of my rock and roll heart.
Only listening on the left. Oh, oh, shit.
We're going to hell,
Rob. Oh, yeah, we're going to fuck a murder hornet in hell for this. There's no doubt about it.
I'm going to be down there, Chef. Shoveling for all we're worth.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Oh, me. Oh, dear.
God, Scott, what's it like to live in your mind? I thought it was bad in mine.
Oh, Jesus. And this is only the stuff I mentioned. You ought to hear the shit that never comes up in the conversation. I mean, it's just frightening. It's like Peter Lorre in my head making noises, you know?
Reek, Reek, you've got to help me, Reek.
Oh, dear. But seriously, oh, God.
This is just painful.
Stop me before I pre-associate.
Yeah, I mentioned toward the end of the program this past Friday, and I'm not going to do, I'm saving it for Friday. But this is just a tease. It was kind of a low key Friday on the front porch last week. And toward the end of the program, I said, or maybe I said it in chat. I think I said it to Brother Bishop Steve. I said, you know, maybe I should have gone to the fish on acid story.
I've never heard that one.
Well, it's out there, and I'm saving it.
Fish on acid.
Yes. I mean.
Well, that could go any number of ways.
For one, how can you tell?
Fish on acid. My.
And I saw a meme the other day where somebody put, not so much a meme, it was just a picture of a dog with a big dopey grin on its face, with its head out the back window. And the caption said, "We just spent our dog ate some mushrooms in the yard, and we just spent $140 to have the vet tell us he's high as shit."
My favorite New Yorker cartoon are two dogs sitting at a desk in front of a computer, and the caption is, "On the internet, nobody knows you're a dog." It's just something about that it tickled me. So I, you know, perhaps.
Okay, here's our hate mail coming from Arnold.
Oh, no.
Okay.
We didn't mean it.
Okay, not funny. Here's your hate mail. There's a magic camera that goes on your glasses for the blind. It's $4,000. I called those bastards up and said, "Give me a free one because I'm exceptional. Fuckers told me I could make payments. That's why my polarities always cross. Scott, you should know better." Thank you, Arnold.
A magic camera for real that you can put on your glasses for the visually impaired? Is that real?
Apparently so.
I'll be damned.
It's like because a friend of mine runs a hearing aid business.
Huh?
And he told me that for the low price of like $15,000, there's a set of hearing aids you can wear that provide negative noise and it'll make your tinnitus go away.
Oh, wow. Tell William Conrad, or not William Conrad, William Shatner. He's had terrible tinnitus for years.
I do, too.
You do? I didn't know that.
Oh, it's awful. You know, from all these years with headphones on my head. I mean, it's just there. It's always there. And in fact, I use tinnitus to try to explain to people what gender dysphoria is like. You know, it's always there. Some days it's worse than others, but it's always there, and it's always bugging you. It's always just it interferes with your life. And you know, if you've ever normalized like a mix desk or something, like in a radio station, you've sent a 10 kilohertz tone through to set 0 dB.
Yeah.
Well, it's like a 10 kilohertz tone that's always there.
Now, how loud is it?
I mean,
it's like a constant under everything.
Yeah. I mean, I hear it now. I hear it when you're talking. I hear it when I'm talking. Every day, all
this
day.
This is a test for the next.
This is a test
seconds.
Of the emergency broadcast system. For the next 60 seconds, this is only a test. And if you see the communist tornadoes, yeah.
I always thought, see, where I lived, where I grew up, I think it was the first Tuesday of every month at 11 a.m., they would do the air raid. They would test the air raid sirens, okay, starting in the early 60s. And I always thought, how stupid to do it that way, because that's the perfect time for the Ruskies to lob those missiles. You know, 11 a.m., second Tuesday of the month, or whatever the fuck it was.
Yeah, that one young woman got in such horrible trouble a couple of weeks ago for criticizing basically so many thousands of NYPD officers who showed up at St. Patrick's Cathedral for the funeral of one of their fallen comrades. And it's like, you could rob every bank in Manhattan.
Well, I'm amazed that there hasn't been a rash of bank robberies with everybody wearing masks. And wasn't there a time recently, like in the last several years, where you couldn't turn around without a bank in California? It was horrible. I think 60 Minutes did a thing about it, one of the magazine shows, because we're so freeway-oriented, and the banks are always just two stoplights away from a freeway ramp. So you come in, hit, split, and you're off. And they'll never find you unless you're in a golf cart like Trump having an O.J. chase. That was great. And Rudy would be the Al Cowlings in the back seat on the phone talking to, well, wouldn't be talking to Larry King. Who would he be talking to? What right-wing radio type would be at the other end of that call? I don't know. These are the times that tie men shoes or something. What?
Well, exactly. And by the way, yes, Arnold says the camera is a real thing. It's called Orcam. And can we talk hearing aids tomorrow? He said, money. Pop needs them. I'll call my buddy because Brendan just wrote in and said, what's the name of that tinnitus dampening device? It's a kind of a hearing aid. And I don't know because once my buddy told me they were $12,000 or something, I was like,
bah. It sounds like a miracle here or one of something like that.
It's not, though. I mean, I know what lab they're going to be coming from. I think Starkey. Because I think they're the biggest hearing aid company in the country, maybe the world.
Earlier, when Jerry was talking about ideas, I actually had an idea years ago, 20 years ago or more, that has since become an actual thing. And it was for visually impaired people who use Braille. You know what Braille looks like. It's three dots on the left side, three dots on the right side. And depending on which ones are raised above the surface of the paper, that constitutes the letters or the punctuation or whatever. Well, the idea I had was a little device about maybe a little less than a foot wide and maybe 3 inches or so high and an inch or so deep. And it was it would be electronic, and it would be a series of lowered Braille cell dots, just a row and another row and another row and another row. And you would feed from a computer the text, and it would raise the dots in real time, where it would be stored. The data would be stored in such a way that the blind person would throw the switch, and it would be like scrolling text, but in Braille on a little device. And damned if somebody didn't come up with that.
I'll be darned. Well, I will find out what that thing was, what that hearing aid was, and I'll get back to y'all. Remind me.
It can't possibly cost that much.
Y'all, no, it does. I mean, it's crazy because they're tiny. I mean, there's no straps around the ear. They're in the ear. Nobody even sees them.
Does it work on the same principle as noise canceling headphones?
I think it does something similar.
Yeah.
Only it generates a complementary tone to whatever the frequency of tinnitus is. Because you know they know what frequency, I guess. But it's all based on damage to the inner ear.
Yeah.
By the way, Matt in San Francisco says, "Is this the one pill makes you smaller edition of Moron Monday?" Well, yeah, kinda, and. Jack in Shreveport said, "I'm still waiting to hear that boy made his way out of this big old mess of cane after he done blowed up his face and couldn't see nothing. Didn't sound like he had some genius of a dog to get him out. Hell, I'd think a dog would have the good sense to run off a fair shit blowing up around." Jack gets it. Yeah.
But wait a minute. What part of the country did this take place in? Because
I think it was in Kentucky.
They have cane plants? Sure, like sugar cane?
Cane breaks. Hell yeah.
I'll be damned.
Not sugar cane.
What kind of cane?
I guess it's kin to bamboo or something.
Maybe they make ballast.
I mean, the same thing happened. It's similar here. Also known as a, and folks in PA will recognize it, a run of laurel or a rhododendron thicket. Because that stuff, it's nangly, gangly and gnarly and all over the, and you can't see shit. You can't. By the way, Matt says, hearing, ringing. A few years back, I had an operation on my ear for hearing loss tinnitus. Basically, they attached a piston-like device to the bones in my ear that over time grow, fuse together, and prevent the vibration of the eardrum that's needed to hear. Worked like a charm. I'll be darned.
But you had to put drops in. It was like STP, the razor's edge, to make your piston run cooler, cleaner, quieter, longer. So says Andy Granatelli.
Well, I would love to. This is, but at least I took care of the gender dysphoria, so we got that. I've got that going for me. And by the way, Dennis in Columbus says Scott is on fire tonight.
Well, hey, it's Jerry's fault. Jerry got really. I'm serious. Got me pumped up.
No, Jerry lit it up. Yeah. By the way, Brendan says thanks for answering. At 12 grand, hope springs eternal. There was research in tinnitus dampening called acoustic neuroaccommodation some years ago, but I've not been able to find much about it. My unilateral tinnitus drives me around the fucking bend. Oh, it will. It absolutely will. It's just, I mean, sometimes I wonder if I hear it when I'm sleeping. How's that? How's that?
You probably do.
Yeah.
You probably do.
Oh, by the way, going back to Jerry talking about storming the Capitol. Hey, listening to Jerry calling to storm the Capitol. No, that happened January 6th, the day that will rightly live in infamy. But I was reminded of something Malloy said: soapbox, ballot box, and ammo box. A revolutionary notion, sure, but we're still at the second option, and only ever should be in this democratic republic, whatever that is. But yes, right here, right now, the soapbox is bubbling over. The ballot box is the means to storm the power, as it should be. The crazies, Nazis, have already taken to step three. We're not crazy, and the soapbox is crazy-making on both sides. Ha! Word-knowing, we hear, as to step two, that ballot suppression is out in the open, and battleground states are in play. What the fuck? Battleground states sounds like a word from the War of Independence from the Union, which we must work like crazy in order to form a more perfect one. This year, desperately and not dispiritedly, rambling on, that's Mighty Mouse. Hey, Mighty, thanks for jumping in. And by the way, just a little news update, because I mentioned it before I took the break. We've got a little piece of news. I mentioned it at the beginning of the program that Mo Brooks, Les Brames, was railing and hooting and barking and grunting away. He said, you know, we got to get past this question of pigmentation because an appeals court made up of two Trump appointees and one other said, no, y'all's drawing that map to dilute black votes, and pretty clear. Well, the Supreme Court got hold of it as of today. Reuters reporting, the U.S. Supreme Court on Monday let Alabama use a Republican-backed map of the state's U.S. congressional districts that a lower court found likely to discriminate against black voters, handing an important victory to Republicans as they seek to regain control of Congress in the November 8th elections.
There you go.
I call that underdescribed, as they seek to suppress sufficient votes. And see, my own legislature has a nice little bit of voter suppression going on. It's already illegal to commit voter fraud in this state, but they got to keep folks happy, so they got to, well, we're fighting the voter fraud. I have no idea if I'm going to, I mean, I'm registered. But I transitioned, and I have not had to vote since transitioning. And I don't know if I'm going to get to vote or not.
Well, what do they do in a case like that? Because you certainly can't be the only trans person in the state of West
Virginia. Well, I'm not. But, I mean, it's not supposed to be a big deal. It doesn't have a photo on it. And so, you know, it's my name, I'm on the books, I'm on the rolls. It shouldn't be an issue, but never put it past a Republican to try to suppress a vote if it's a vote they think is wrong.
Well, the other night on one of the, I think it was the they used to call it Washington Week. Maybe they still do on PBS on Friday nights. I think that was the show. There was one of the people they were talking to was saying that the Republicans have gotten to that uncomfortable place where in many places, increasing numbers of places, they can't win fair and square. So they've got to rig it and basically steal it that way. isn't that an encouraging thing in a sense that?
They know where they are.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's they're doubling down.
They are, as I have said in the past, they are that mastodon, that woolly mammoth standing in the middle of the La Brea tar pit, going, "What the?"
Yeah, yeah. I think he was going to say "fuck."
And bugling and honking and screeching to an uncaring universe as they slide slowly beneath the tar.
And old what's his name, Trump, he's not even being subtle. Not that he ever necessarily was, but he's tipping his hand this far out from 24. You know, in a supposed second run. I don't think that's ever going to happen.
Well, let me go back to the map thing in Alabama, because here's the punchline. So this was a petition for a temporary injunction. Now, the rules for granting a temporary injunction is the court has to think that there's a substantial likelihood the plaintiffs will prevail, or that the petitioner for the injunction will prevail at trial.
Yeah.
So it was, of course, 5-4 with old Balls and Strikes John Roberts joining the three sane members of the court. And, 5-4. And here's the punchline. The court also said it would take up and decide the Alabama dispute on the merits with arguments expected in the fall and a decision due by June of 2023. In other words, they're going to let Alabama gerrymander the hell out of its district and make sure that they dilute the black vote on a district by district basis. Yeah, we're going to let them get away with it this time. Probably let them get away with it for good, but you know, dang, what are we supposed to do? We're a rump party. We're nothing but aggravated, butt hurt white folks. You know, and Candy Owens. So we gotta hang on to power as long as we can.
It's an incredible place our country is in, and you know, and the Russians. I mean, I'm sure a good number of the Russian people are just fine, okay, salt of the earth type of people, but it's their leadership and their government. I mean, when I was a kid, I mean, a first grader in 1960, the fall of 1960, riding the city bus to my school for the first day of school, you know how buses in those days, and maybe still do, have advertising up above the seats?
Oh, yeah.
Up near the ceiling? There was a poster of Nikita Khrushchev with his fist balled up, and the caption was, "We will bury you." And I think it was an ad for Radio Free Europe, a PSA for Radio Free Europe. And that scared the hell out of me as a little first grader on the school bus riding to school, you know, with nukes pointed from both sides, ready to go at a moment's notice. And as it turns out, if I'm reading the current situation correctly, that's not how they're going to bury us. They're going to bury us in bullshit.
Yeah, they're going to bury us in our own garbage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's way less expensive, way more cost effective than building thermonuclear devices that are sent up into the sky and back down again.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, so, didn't Khrushchev say without firing a shot?
Well, I think he may have at some point. And also, the game plan was we will bury you not from without but from within. It's like a prophecy coming to pass, thanks to you know who. And he wants an encore, for fuck's sake. And there are those out there that are just lining up.
Well, look, I mean, look who the Republicans are right now. You know, we're not talking about going to war with Russia or anything. We're showing up. You know, we're showing the flag. You know, we've told Putin that we're going to sanction the living bejesus out of him. Really make it hurt, but maybe he thinks he's got a way around. But lo and behold, the Republicans, you know, Ronald Reagan's party.
Yeah.
Are hollering, go Russia, go.
Yeah, yeah. And that in just the space of, what, 35 years, this has come to pass? Once upon a time, the standard for the party was Russia is the evil empire. And now, our best friends.
Yeah.
Not our best
friends. I mean, remember, what was it, the Sons of the Confederacy? Weren't they the ones who aligned with the official organization of White Russians?
Is this recently?
Yeah, in the last couple of years, it was back during the maggot reign.
Well, we know the NRA of what do you call them? The National Ruble
National White Ruble Association. Yeah.
It's something has happened with the conservative side. They've lost their way. I mean, they used to be.
Remember, Mother Russia still has the RNC, all the RNC emails.
Yeah, that's true. It's a good thing to keep in mind. But
Lindsey Graham's little mash notes and whatnot.
Oh, I'm sure that they've got hotel receipts. They've probably got video. You know.
And by the way, going back to redistricting, gerrymandering, and voter suppression. Ron and Raleigh tells us the map here in North Carolina has a 10-4 Republican majority. They can't redistrict anymore. They tried to get to 11-3, but couldn't do it. The Supreme Court here said redraw the maps. Republicans, meanwhile, make up less than 50% of North Carolina's voters.
And yet, the maps are... See, out here we came to our senses a few years ago. It used to be a very partisan thing, and I mean, it may still be partisan in effect, but then again, it's California. How partisan can it be? I mean, we have Republicans, but they're like, we've got them on display at the zoological place so you can see them while there's still a few around. But we came to our senses a few years ago and made it so that an independent group would do the boundaries every 10 years. And it's worked out well. What, you know, there's no standardization. That's one of the problems with the way local elections are done. Because if it's a local situation with the movers and the shakers calling the shots, you know that it's going to be just as partisan as you please. At least with some sort of independent oversight, it could be handled in a more appropriate way. But that would be too much like doing it correctly. You know?
Yeah.
There's no end to the... They've taken dirty tricks to a new low. You can't say a new high. It's a new low. I remember when a kinder and gentler form of dirty tricks, as bad as they were then.
Yeah, things like the Canuck letter.
Yeah, we had no idea where that...
And that's what it's called. I'm not being shitty.
No, exactly. Exactly. And it's just... And most people don't know because a lot of them get their news, in air quotes, from, I mean, it's like Fox News is like saying Federal Express and making it sound like it's a government operation, you know?
Yeah.
So screw Ralph Reed. Because he and Newt and the rest of that crew are the ones that really started that party on a fast track to hopefully oblivion. And maybe they know this, and this is their last-ditch effort. That's what I was saying before. Perhaps this is a positive development, as bad as it is.
Well, Arthur says, I don't think the GOP has lost its way. They've just kept going straight on the path that they were on, ever faster and over the cliff. And I think there's truth in that, too. And I need to send out thanks to our dear sister, Jude. We are down to 719. We are $119 away from fully funded for last Thursday.
and I guess we're going to be looking at 10:19 tomorrow. So thank you, Jude. Thank you. Jude said, subject line, dysphoria, one of our deep connections resides within each of our own dysphorias as we are humans. It teaches us to be awake, like a sliver fragment of wood inadvertently piercing the bed of a highly sensitive finger pad, persistently there till it's removed. This is why we need each other. Good night to all. And our pal Tracy up in Massachusetts let me know that she is, in fact, a licensed hearing instrument specialist, and said most manufacturers have a tinnitus masker. Actually, wearing aids can naturally mitigate tinnitus. It did for me. I suffered with it since childhood and never knew what it was until I started dispensing a few years ago. I have mild loss, and after I started wearing my aids, my tinnitus is nearly gone. I hated the masking programs, never used it. Tinnitus is a fickle beast, different for everyone. No known root cause or treatment, only theories. Also, Starkies suck. So there's that. I do have one of the things I really do like is I have a pair of in-ear monitors that I can use. My buddy took an impression of my inner ear, and I have a pair of custom-fitted, basically headphones that are noise-canceling naturally and fit deep in my ear canals, and that was actually what I was using when we were in Alabama, because I had a really long cord, and with the wireless mic, I could get over to the chaise longue on Cleopatra's barge, and broadcast while reclining. Of course, I'm sitting now, and no problem with that, and really happy about that, and excited to see what happens when I leave a week from tomorrow for Birmingham.
Well, before you go, I have one last question.
Yeah.
When you pick up the story at some point in the future about the kid chasing his dog into the sugar cane,
That was not sugar cane. We have been over this.
Okay, that into the cane.
It's called a cane break.
The bull rushes or whatever the hell that it is. This is not going to be like Timmy in the well, because I don't think I can take another story like that.
I don't know if the kid ever got out.
Oh, man.
I mean, I've thought on a number of occasions how much I would really, really like to find out what that story was, so I can just go. I mean, it's a kid's book, but I just want to know how it ends. It's got to have a happy ending.
Well, you can
they can't all be Old Yeller and Where the Red Fern Grows.
Or Bambi, for fuck's sake. They shouldn't show kids stuff like that. Bambi's mom and all that and the fucking forest fire. We don't need that.
We don't.
Do it like they used to do when I was a kid. Put pictures of communist leaders on the bus and scare the fluorescent piss out of them.
Well, you know, that's one of those things I'm learning to do is manage my eyebrows, and I got my tweezers out And I told Annette last night, I said, I got to go after these things. They're looking a little Brezhnev-y.
Oh, God, that's scary. That's like two caterpillars at the disco, Robin. I mean, get down, get down, get down.
Yeah, and you know, just to recap, if you need an earworm that will make you scream, just imagine Boris Johnson, Bojo the Clown, singing Gloria Gaynor's I Will Survive.
Well, I sent you the Bojo theme.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Play that. They used to use that on the cartoons, the Bozo cartoons.
Oh, sure.
You know, I had a crush on Bozo's little pal, Butch, Butchy Boy, when I was a youngster.
Aw.
Yeah, a little blonde-haired Butchy Boy. Baby, come on with you. Say
do we necessarily really want to go there? I mean,
say get right up in Bozo's, right up against his big red nose, and say, "Cram it, clowny, I'm going with him." Jesus.
Yeah, here we go. Let's finish in good order. My God, the things that happen here. We'll be right back. Yeah, maybe they should play that when...
Bojo update.
Yeah.
Boris, the world's most famous clown.
Boris! No, I didn't. Ralph said, I guess I'll have to listen to tonight's show, but did you name the book? I have no idea the name of it. It was fourth grade.
Well, I'm sure if you Googled it, children's book,
Pioneer Boy Lost in a Cane Break?
That could be a movie of the week over on Lifetime.
Probably already has been.
Well, maybe.
The Hallmark Channel.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, speaking of movies, and then I'll let you go. Have you watched The Eyes of Tammy Faye?
Got about halfway through it, and that's another one we fell asleep on.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was awfully good.
Well, it kind of was. I mean, what's her name? Jessica Chastain. She is a fabulous actor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But that story... I mean, she was no angel, she was not a perfect innocent lamb by any stretch of the imagination. Jim came off as a real schmuckaroo.
Oh, yeah, no. You know, that guy kind of reminded me of the way he played Jim Baker sort of reminded me of, I don't know, there was essence of Rick Moranis in his portrayal.
Really? Yeah. Yeah, I get that. I may have to watch that again. I just thought it was really well done, and since I knew the story anyway, but God, I mean, my ex-mother-in-law down in Nevada, Missouri, used to turn in to PTL every damn day, and she was on a fixed income, that poor soul, sending $15 a week or whatever the hell she would send them. And it was all for hush money and gold faucets and air-conditioned doghouses. And I don't
think she lived to
see the scandal. Maybe she did.
Well, it's like Sam Kinison once said, you know, I want to be there on the day that Jim Baker arrives, and I want to be there when Jesus looks at him and says, where did I say to build a water slide?
Yeah. And maybe Jerry
and he's still out there hustling. He's still out there hustling.
Jerry Falwell, you know, said, I go to prepare a place for you. What he didn't say was the precincts in hell that are going to be hotter than the hinges on the gate out front, you know?
Yeah.
So there you go, Jimmy boy. Jerry's down there. Ain't no water slide either. Water slide into a lake of fire, you some bitch. But there you go. In his business suit going down the water slide looking like a corpse. Jesus, get me off of here.
He's one of the, yeah, does it have one of the silly whistle sound effects?
I think on that happy.
Yeah, Randy Radar says, yeah, PTL was like romper room for adults.
There you go.
And it still kind of is. Here, you want to taste the bucket pudding?
Oh, God. You know, he's probably sold that all to the government, you know, to put in the shelters, replace some of those vintage 1961 crackers or biscuits or whatever the hell, and the barrels of water down there. That's certainly all gone bad by now. The rats won't even eat it, you know, and the damn air raid shelters. So get on that, Jim. Do something fucking useful.
Scott, have yourself a good night.
I will. And where's Hal Lindsey when we need him? Certainly he prophesied.
Oh, mercy.
Putin. Where's that Gog and Magog? That plan.
Yes. Oh, my God. You were paying attention.
That bullshit never came to pass.
Okay. Sounds here's like another one that was on there a lot. A cranky old dude by the name of Harold Hill.
The music man?
No, not the music man.
Oh.
His name was, I think his name was Harold Hill. He was an old guy. He was like,
on PTL.
Yeah.
Yeah, the old Bible authority.
Well, not just that, but he was also, because he'd been an engineer, he was an engineer and he invented something that started cold airplanes in World War II.
And they had him on to hustle a book that was an attack on evolution. And I got to give the old coot credit for a good title. His anti-evolution book was called From Goo to You by Way of the Zoo.
He's channeling Dr. Seuss.
Yeah. Yeah, it couldn't possibly be real because, you know, baby chimpanzees don't have baby giraffes. It's just not possible.
From Goo to You by Way of the Zoo.
Yes.
I'm going to order a copy of that plus the Kane mystery. I don't mean the Kane Newton.
No, the Kane mystery. The C-A-N-E mystery. I know.
Do any of the characters have steel balls that they roll around incessantly?
No, but I think in the middle of the Kane break, he does find some strawberries.
Strawberries. I could have solved the mystery of the strawberries.
They thought I was crazy, but I fooled them. I caught them with the strawberries.
Geometrical logic.
geometrical logic.
Let me go. I pre-associated myself right into a lather. So
yeah, Arthur earlier calling it, and we're back with the Scott and Chuckles Hour.
I'm sorry, kids. I'll be nice. I won't call in again till Friday. Give you a time to catch your breath and don't get too close. I just caught it myself. But anyway, that's enough of that. Thank you all for indulging me in my madness. It's either this or robbing people in the streets late at night. And this that's better.
I think this is healthier for you.
Thank you, Robin.
See you, Scott. Bye.
Take care. Bye.
The one and only Scott in San Diego. Please explain, says Ron and Raleigh on the way out the door, why women can't be actresses anymore. When they pass out Oscars, will there be only one category for best actor in a drama? I wish people would stop this BS. Are women insulted by a gender-specific title? It's not so much that. It's that an actor is an actor is an actor is an actor. And not every person playing a female character is necessarily going to identify as female. So gendered titles are not necessarily appropriate. There are people who are gender fluid. There are people who are non-binary. And they may not wish to be referred to as such. The question is, why do we need gendered stereotype language? I mean, I think flight attendant is a hell of a more accurate term because than stewardess and steward, because flight attendants are actually involved in a hell of a lot more than just passing out little bags of peanuts and pouring you half a can of Coke. They are actually safety professionals. So they are flight attendants, and you don't have to sit there and worry about gendering it. And no, there's not going to be just one best actor Oscar. I mean, if you want to put a gender in front of it, say male or female character. I mean, that's what it looks like from where I am. And secondly, because it was used as a diminution, that somehow because it's a diminutive, that's the word I'm looking for, and it makes it seem lesser. Maybe someday we'll get beyond some of this, but I'm very happy in the binary. I'm not gender fluid. I'm not non-binary. I grew up feeling in the essence of my being female, and I'm finally able to present and express that way, and that makes me a little bit of a codger, which is a bad term. Because But you know, it's easy enough. All you got to do is be accepting. Just let people be who they are. And I'm not lecturing, Ron. I'm just trying to answer your question. But anyway, well, I've got a quarter hour extra of the program today, and that makes up for the time that I took a break. So that helps. Thanks to all of our subscribers, Patreon and PayPal, a la carte contributors. Thanks for the kind gifts that keep all of this going. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this little ongoing conversation in whatever manner you so choose. Hopefully Podbean will behave itself. I don't know why it did what it did, but I'm also looking for another podcasting platform. Chris in Germany put me onto one possibility. I think it's called Buzzsprout. I need to look into that. Ain't going to be Spotify, I can promise you that. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. Please stay safe. Please get your booster, your vaccines, wear your KN95 or N95 mask. Keep your social distance, wash your hands, don't touch your face, use your hand sanitizer. And if somebody comes gurgling and barbling toward you, hooting about, "We got to get right past this issue of skin pigmentation," Avoid that guy like the plague. Because he is. Later.